The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is Friday, July 8th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Japan's NHK television says former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe died after being shot during a campaign speech. Abe was shot from behind minutes after starting his speech Friday in Nara City, Japan. He was airlifted to a hospital for emergency treatment but was not breathing and his heart had stopped. He was pronounced dead later at the hospital.
Wow.
The 67-year-old was Japan's longest-serving leader before stepping down for health reasons in 2020. Police arrested the suspected gunman at the scene of the attack, which shocked people in a country known as one of the world's safest. There is a dramatic video of Abe being shot while giving the speech outside of the train station. The video shows him collapse on the street with security guards running towards him. He holds his chest, his shirt smeared with blood. In the next moment, security guards leap on top of a man in a gray shirt who lies face down on the pavement. A double-barreled device that appears to be a handmade gun is seen on the ground. Police confirmed the arrest of 41-year-old Tetsuya Yamagami on a suspicion of attempted murder. Now, the NHK television reported that the suspect served in the Maritime Self-Defense Force for 3 years in the 2000s. A new curfew for Philadelphia teens ages 17 and under is now in effect. When the clock struck 10 o'clock last night on Thursday, they should have all been home or in a safe place. The new summer curfew will remain in effect until September 29th. Previously, teens ages 17 and 16 were allowed to be out until midnight. Children ages 14 and 15 already had a 10 p.m. curfew. The curfew remains unchanged for those 13 and under. They must be in by 9:30.
I was reading in the paper questions about if this is going to be really enforceable, you know, they try to put these curfews in and...
Well, yeah, they say they're enforcing it, but they're not giving fines.
Right, right.
When I was a teenager, the curfew was, that was a real threat that we always had been leery of being out late.
What
It was if you were under 18, you can be out past
11.
I think it was 10 or 11.
I was 11 for me, because I remember getting pulled over. And I didn't know why I was getting pulled over, and it was just because I was young, and it was like 11 o'clock, and I was, you know, driving my friends home, but
we had one as well, but in, like, where I grew up, no one really paid attention to.
Okay. I remember people getting busted where I was for curfew.
Yeah.
It's like, what'd you get? Got curfew, man.
I got curfed.
So it's the city's latest effort to try to keep teens safe and away from criminal activity. So far in 2022, 107 children under 18 have now been shot, and tragically, 19 of them have been killed. So if you're under 18, you need to be in the house by 10 o'clock. If minors violate the curfew, Philadelphia Police Department officers will first attempt to reunite them with their families. If that's not possible, officers will take the children to one of two community evening resource centers. Or take them back to the police station and then try to reunite them with their families.
I remember in New York, Kathy, perhaps you're familiar with this, but they, every night, a couple of the stations would do it. It was 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
Oh, yeah.
It was always
that.
A little blurb that would pop up. Yeah.
The bill does provide exceptions for teens.
It's just it. Bless you.
She's
oh, my God. Like, it just seems so unprofessional to do that, but, like,
you can't
what else
help
can
it?
I do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah. I don't have the ability, A, to turn off my microphone.
Yeah.
I guess I could run into
golf
the other
switch.
Studio.
Yeah.
We need to hook one up for
Sneeze switch.
Sneeze
switch.
Switch.
Yeah, he needs all of
that.
Yes,
we have two new switches.
The bill does provide exceptions for teens if there is a legitimate reason. That those include work and errands, and there is leeway for those who are with a guardian, obviously.
What if you want to recklessly drive your ATV down main roads?
No, you can't do that.
Okay.
There will also be no fines for violators. A rising third grader from Montgomery County is having quite a summer so far. The 8-year-old from Bala Cynwyd is one of three winners of a national art competition. Leif is a Pennsylvania Virtual Charter Academy student and recently created a mixed media collage painting of an anglerfish, which earned him a spot as one of three national winners in the Stride National Art Competition. His family believes that he's following in his father's footsteps, who is also an artist. His mom says that he literally draws and paints every single day. Leif's win comes with bragging rights and a $150 Amazon gift card. The Stride National Art Competition is open to all school-age kids across the country. If you'd We'd like to see the winning piece. Leif's mother is having it framed and plans to hang it in her place of business, which is a barber shop called Mr. of Rittenhouse. In sports this morning. Derek Hall hit a home run, doubled, and drove in two runs, and the Phillies beat the Washington Nationals 5-3 yesterday at the ballpark.
They did it!
Didi Gregorius added an RBI triple for the Phils, who took 2 of 3 from the last-place Nats.
They did it!
Hall extended the Phils' lead to 5-2 in the seventh with a drive off the right field foul pole. It was Hall's fourth homer in 8 games since being called up from AAA Lehigh Valley. Over that stretch, Hall is hitting .290 with 7 RBI. The Phils are in St. Louis for a weekend series against the Cardinals. Zach Wheeler will get the start tonight. First pitch is set for 8:15. Last night in the 2022 NHL draft in Montreal, the Flyers grabbed a big forward at 5th overall, taking Cutter Gauthier. A 6'2", 200-pound forward is headed to Boston College and wants to play center at the collegiate level. He finished 2nd on the U.S. National Team Development Program under 18 squad with 34 goals through 54 games. He also collected 31 assists and had a plus 33 rating. He was ranked 3rd North American skater in NHL, Central Scouting, and rated as the 5th best player overall in the draft. And at Wimbledon, Rafael Nadal will withdraw from the tournament before today's semifinal match against Nick Kyrgios with a torn abdomen muscle. The 22-time major champion said that he was experiencing pain in the area for the past week, but that the injury got worse during Wednesday's quarterfinal match against Taylor Fritz, specifically while serving. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We have a wonderful day laid out before us. The weather looks great. We have some stuff to give away, including our Word of the Week prize, 4-pack of pit tickets to see Dead and Company coming up on the 10th, which is, oh my gosh, that's a day after tomorrow. So we will give that away at the end of the program today. We also have some people stopping by today. We have the Crave Montco Month Anne Marie's in Royersford event taking place. So I'll get the details. That means we have some stuff to give away to you. And appearing on the program, comedian Adrian Iapolucci will be here, and live music from Coheed and Cambria.
This is really cool.
Yeah, they're performing at the Lea Corps Center, but not until July 27th. So they're swinging through, and they're going to play some music live. And the last time we had Claudio on, it was just a geek-out, awesome conversation.
I ended up kind of getting into the music a little bit and exploring it because I love the whole idea. I know you're a fan of the concept album, and that's kind of their thing.
They're kind of the whole concept band. It's like every album ties in with the other. The story continues.
Which is kind of amazing.
And it's very rich in its sound, and it goes all over the place texturally, and they're just a really cool band.
So I was thinking, you know, we just talked to John Anderson from Yes, and they're kind of the heir apparent to that sort of legacy, right?
I agree. So Claudio and company will be stopping by this morning. They will be performing live here around 9 o'clock. So if you're a Coheed fan, you've got to check that out. And we're going to give away some tickets as well to that show down the road a bit. So hang in there for all this stuff taking place through the course of the morning. We're excited about it.
Yes.
We're going to take a break with some unfortunate news to share in entertainment in the Entertainment Report. Death of somebody in a movie that we absolutely love. We'll be back in a moment to tell you about that as well as Stupid Question and more. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve. Their name is their address.
On the web. PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kind of getting a late start, 6:37. Let's get our stupid question out there to you and give some away. A pair of GA weekend tickets to attend all 3 Phish concerts on the beach in Atlantic City, August 5th, 6th, and 7th. The question I have for you this morning is, which American poet actually won a Grammy for writing a Johnny Cash song. 215-263-WMMR. Call if you know the answer to this. Which American poet won a Grammy for writing a Johnny Cash song? Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays. We got some big ones here. Today being the 8th day of July. Philadelphia's son, Kevin Bacon, has his birthday today. Mr. Bacon turned 63 years old. We talked to him and his brother, Michael, not all that long ago as the Bacon brothers were in town.
And he proudly wears a vintage MMR shirt, which is very cool.
Yeah, and it's an original. Like, he's had it for years and years and years, and he's took very good care of it. And you'll see it on some of his social media videos. But he's one of the greats. I don't even have to run down his list of accomplishments. He's 63 years old today. Happy birthday to you, Kevin Bacon. Angelica Houston has her birthday today. Movies like Preetzi's Honor and the Addams Family series. She was great as Morticia.
One of her great cameos, she is the one who is called upon to design Stonehenge in Spinal Tap.
That's right. You are right. She's celebrating her 70th birthday today. It's Jeffrey Tambor's birthday today.
Yeah, another great.
Larry Sanders Show, Arrested Development. What was the...
Three's a Crowd.
Transparent.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Transparent had a huge hit with that as well. Jeffrey is 78 today. Steve, it's Steve Lawrence's birthday
today. Oh, my God.
Who is that?
Steve Lawrence of Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, but Preston and Ware fans because of The Lonely Guy.
Yes, he was in The Lonely Guy, and he was a semi-regular on the Carol Burnett Show.
All
she
the time.
Had him on all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Didn't he show up in Blues Brothers? He's in the sauna scene.
Artie Kline.
Yeah.
Booking agent.
Yes, okay.
He was a guy who got the whole thing and always had fun with it and never took himself too seriously. And so he kind of became the darling of a lot of these guys, and they put him in the movies.
Yeah, in the Blues Brothers, they're in that steam room, and he's like, I don't know, boys. I just don't know.
I love how the whole band is behind Jake and Elwood. They're just like, they're hanging out up above, and they're down doing the negotiation with
and
them.
And they all have their sunglasses on while they're in the steam room. He's 87 today. Milo Ventimiglia. Who was on the show Heroes. And
you're better than that!
He in that scene, in Rocky Balboa, that's who Rocky is talking to.
You're better than that!
Milo plays his son.
And by the way, perfect casting for the son. He even has the same thing going on.
The lip thing!
Look, you got my lip!
The lower lip thing!
You're better than that!
It's perfect. And he's great in that movie.
He's sensational.
There's a scene where Rocky's going the distance, and he's talking to him in the corner because he's his corner guy. He's like, everybody thought this was a joke. Yeah. I thought it was a joke, but it's not anymore. You gotta prove it. It's just like... God, Steve and I love that movie so much.
Absolutely. I love the scene, Preston, too, post that speech when he goes and meets up with him at the cemetery.
Oh, my gosh.
So good.
Yep. He is 45 today. Billy Crudup, almost famous.
Russell, love Billy Crudup.
Russell Hammond, he's in one of your all-time favorite movies, Big Fish.
He's so good in Big Fish, and he is The Flash's dad.
That's right.
Yes, the Zack Snyder.
And of course, he plays Dr. Manhattan in The Watchmen.
You got to watch Morning Show on Apple. He's great. I love his character in that.
He is 54 today. All right, a gentleman by the name of Lee Tergesen. And I had to look him up because it said he was in Point Break, and he played the character Rosie in Point Break, who really doesn't talk much.
Yeah, he's in Oz, too, right?
I didn't watch Oz a lot. Just I'm not sure.
Yeah. He played Tobias Beecher.
Played the Cowardly Lion.
And then it was funny because I was going through his IMDb just to see other movies he was in, and I thought he was in what I saw was Taken.
Right.
The Liam Neeson movie. Right. Okay. And I went back, I doubled back, and actually it was a movie called Tuken.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I could just hear Liam.
You regret Tuken, my daughter. I have a very special set of squirrels.
You got Tuke.
Don't turn you to Turk, my dear.
Is this even English?
Or it could have been Taken Part 2.
Tuken. Tuken.
Tuked.
Hey, Tuke, our daughter. Wait, well, Tuke.
Took.
Yeah. That's how it's spelled.
But that would be one of those things in like Scrabble. I'd be like, Tuke. Tuke. Tuke is not a word.
He is 57 today. We also have Beck, the musician, turns 52 years old. We were just talking about him the other day.
Yeah.
He regrets not letting Weird Al Yankovic do his song Loser. And what was he going to change it to? Instead of I'm a loser, baby, it was...
Murphy knows.
What was that? Or no, Murphy, you were telling me something about chicken pot pie.
Oh, no, it was Weird Al Yankovic, and you're going to be a boozer? No, wait, what...
Oh, schmoozer.
You're a schmoozer,
what
baby.
What was the chicken pot pie one, though? That one was really funny that he didn't get to do.
Hold on. Murphy's got to come in here. Here's our resident Weird Al Yankovic.
Chicken pot pie.
Expert. What was it?
So he was going to do Live and Let Die and change it to chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot pie. That would have been great.
I know, but Paul McCartney's a vegan and didn't want it associated with that.
Come on. They serve chicken pot pie. Bang. All right, but Beck, great musician, 52 years old today. Great chef, Wolfgang Puck, has his birthday.
I took his video course on YouTube, and I made wonderful Eggs Benedict for my wife on our anniversary a couple years ago.
He is a really great chef. He's 73 today. It's also Jaden Smith's birthday. Of course, the son of Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, and in movies like The Karate Kid, After Earth, which actually I kind of liked After Earth.
It got beat up pretty bad,
yeah. But I liked it. I was in The Day the Earth Stood Still and The Pursuit of Happiness.
Really heart-wrenching movie.
Goodness, yes.
After Earth was Shyamalan, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the set that I was on, and then afterwards I came in and told you guys about it, and then I got an email from the movie company that was like, stop talking.
Wow. I need you to stop talking.
Yeah.
I need you to stop talking.
And he is 24 years old today. And then the last birthday I saw is Maya Hawke. And she plays Robin in Stranger Things. And for those of you who don't know this, she is the daughter of Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
And she is fantastic in Stranger Things.
She's great. She came on the show last season. Yep. And is now, you can't even think of the show without her.
And in fact, one of the things I loved about the third season is she constantly referred to Steve as a dingus. And I love that word, dingus. Nice job, dingus. But she's so cute and funny.
Yeah.
And she's great in the fourth season as well. I'm glad she's a permanent part of that cast from here on out. She is 24 years old today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Which American poet won a Grammy for writing a Johnny Cash song? 215-263 WMMR is the number. And we are going to go to the first Jim that came called in, Jim H. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
All right, Jim, which American poet won a Grammy for writing a Johnny Cash song?
Shel Silvestre.
You know,
come on.
Shel Silvestre, S-I-L.
I can't get
Jim. You wouldn't get it right on Jim saying no.
It's the wrong answer. I'm sorry, buddy. We got to let you go. I can't. No, we're going to go to Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Jeannie, what's the actual answer?
Shel Silverstein.
Yeah. Legendary.
Yeah, he did The Giving Tree and
where the
sidewalk ends.
Yeah.
But he wrote A Boy Named Sue,
which is a great novelty song.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and he won a Grammy for it.
Much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
It's a great song, and he's a great poet. And man, if you ever read The Giving Tree and you don't cry at the end of that, oh, my gosh.
Kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
It is, but that little kid took that tree for everything.
Yep.
Gave it nothing back.
Little prick.
Right. Well, listen, I got some stuff to get to, and we're going to start with a heart-wrenching story as well. But what a full life he lived. Hollywood stars and filmmakers, including Al Pacino, Francis Ford Coppola, and Robert De Niro, have paid tribute to the late Godfather actor James Caan, who died on Wednesday. He was 82 years old. And of course, he played Sonny Corleone in Coppola's classic 1972 gangster movie. Pacino, who starred as Michael Corleone, described him as a great actor and a dear friend. Francis Ford Coppola said, Caan's work will never be forgotten. The director said, Jimmy was someone who stretched through my life longer and closer than any motion picture figure I've ever known. From those earlier times working together in the 1969 film The Rain People and throughout all the milestones of my life, His films and the many great roles he's played will never be forgotten. He will always be my old friend from Sunnyside, my collaborator, and one of the funniest people I've ever known.
He had a great sense of humor, and that permeated a couple of the comedies he did. He did a movie called Freebie and the Bean, which is sort of a comedy buddy cop movie with Alan Arkin. He did a movie called Slither, which I think is hilarious, with Sally Kellerman. And then he's just done a whole bunch of other stuff.
And Elf, too.
Elf is the dad. So we have clips from The Godfather and Elf and Misery, of course. Another great movie. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So here's him in The Godfather.
Hey, what are you going to do? Nice college boy, huh? They want to get mixed up in the family business? Huh? Now you want to gun down a police captain? Why, because he slapped you in the face a little bit? Huh? What do you think, this is the army where you shoot him a mile away? You got to get him close like this, and bada-bing, you blow their brains all over your nice Ivy League suit. Come in.
There's a screen test of De Niro reading that exact line for the role of Sonny.
They all read for different parts.
Yeah.
And then at the end, because Coppola had directed The Rain People and worked with a lot of these actors and wanted to port them on over. And then he sort of Tetris them into other roles, and the rest is cinematic history.
Yeah, it ended up being perfect casting.
So I just got a text message from Craig Ligons, and, you know, he is a wealth of movie knowledge. And he said that James Caan turned down all sorts of roles.
Oh, legendary roles that he passed on.
Yeah, so he had turned down the lead role in Rocky, Superman, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and the role of Han Solo. He turned down the King Kilgore role, which is played by Robert Duvall in Apocalypse Now, and he turned that down because he didn't want to miss the birth of his son.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who is also an actor.
Yep. Steve, was he, I may be getting this wrong, there was a movie about, speaking of buddy cops, you had said earlier about an alien.
Yes. I love Alienation.
That. I love
with
that.
With Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy Patinkin is
and
the alien.
He's excellent. There's a great scene where he's sort of an alcoholic cop, and his daughter leaves a message on the answering machine when they had tapes. And he comes home and he's listening to it, and he's got a bottle of booze in his hand. And she goes, I love you, Daddy. And she goes, oh, no, now you're going to save the tape. And he takes it out and saves it. And it's just a great – he was an everyman that made you connect to him. And you just instantly liked him.
Pacino said, it's hard to believe that he won't be in the world anymore because he was so alive and daring, a great actor, a brilliant director, and my dear friend.
Do you know when he did?
He said, I'm going to miss him.
He did Misery. That was sort of a crapshoot. They were like, Khan's career was not on fire at the time. And so it was kind of a, let's go for this and see how he does.
And of course, here's a clip from him in Misery.
Paul, you're dripping with perspiration. Your color is very hectic. What have you been doing?
You know damn well what I've been doing. I've been sitting here suffering. I need my pills.
Poor dear. Let's get you back in bed and I'll get them.
I want my pills now.
It'll only take a second.
No! I want my pain to go away, Annie. Please, make it go away.
He's so great in that movie.
I watched the making of The Godfather the other day, and it was him and Talia Shire sat down, and they were talking about it because it was the 50th anniversary.
Right.
It was CBS Sunday Morning, and Steve, I'm sure you know this, but the scene at in the New Jersey Turnpike where things don't go well for Sonny, he had like something like 150 of those little exploding things on
squibs, his body. They called them. Yeah.
And so they made sure, and he made sure, and Coppola made sure, one take for that scene because it was literally going to be dangerous for him to have all of those go off.
If they could fire off in the wrong direction,
exactly,
it'd be akin to getting shot.
Speaking of Talia Shire, of course, she played Connie Corleone. She said he was a good man, a kind man, a family man, and a wildly gifted man whose great talent will always be loved and remembered. My prayers with his family that he treasured so dearly.
And he's also, so we have a clip of him as the dad, and the at first you realize he's this sort of predatory corporate book publisher, and Elf. Then he comes around, in Elf.
There we go.
You're taking the books back?
See, I see what you're trying to do here. You're trying to make me feel bad when, in actuality, you're the one that missed the payments.
But the children love the books.
I know that, you know, I'm the one that ran the folks groups, but I like hearing that.
fellow filmmaker Rob Reiner, who also directed The Late Star in the 1990 psychological thriller Misery, as we just played a clip from, said that he loved working with him.
Billy Dee Williams, who was Khan's Brian Song co-star, shared a picture on social media of the two of them together.
Brian Song is just transcends. It's such a beautiful film.
Yeah, among the early tributes to him, fellow actor Gary Sinise wrote on Twitter that it had been wonderful to know him and to call him a pal. He is survived by his five children, including Hawaii Five-0 star Scott Khan, who's in the
Ocean's movies as well. He's actually been mentioned a couple times. He might be a little bit past it now, but he was one they were talking about to play Wolverine.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, because he's shorter in stature.
Sad news. Sad news. All right, well, I have some other things to get to, and this is a tragedy as well, but dropping the weight for the 2022 Met Gala caused Kim Kardashian to have some psoriasis.
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God. Wow.
Flare up on her. Wow. Now, I'm a fellow sufferer.
Yeah, so you must feel really bad for her.
I feel horrible for her. Now, it can get bad.
It just totally boots James Caan off the front page.
her psoriasis.
She said that for Allure, the August 2022 cover story, that consuming meat as part of her diet is
Ryan
to blame.
Ryan Bigelow has cancer and Kim has psoriasis.
She said, psoriasis broke out all over my body. I got psoriatic arthritis, so I couldn't really move my hands.
She has arthritis, too?
Well, you can get it from psoriasis.
Okay.
It's called psoriatic arthritis.
All right.
So she said it was really painful. Unfortunately, the psoriasis I have is not connected to psoriatic arthritis, which is great. She said,
I noticed that your lips occasionally puff up.
She said it was really painful, and I had to go to a rheumatologist who put me on a steroid. I was freaking out. I cut out the meat again, and it calmed down. So she said that it was losing 15 pounds to get into Marilyn Monroe's dress that caused it.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, so let's see. Armie Hammer's lawyer has confirmed that the Call Me By Your Name actor is not working as a concierge in Grand Cayman. On Wednesday, Muna Meyer, a producer of Showtime's De Zeus and Miro, tweeted an image of a flyer featuring the social network star as at the Marriott Resort's personal concierge.
So, and the perception was that things had gotten so bad for him, he was working at this resort.
So she wrote, my friend's parents went on vacation in Cayman Islands, and Armie Hammer was their concierge.
Robert De Niro was their pool boy.
Hammer's lawyer said that the flyer is fake. The actor is not working as a hotel concierge in the Caymans, where he had been living throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. An employee of Marriott's resort also confirmed the flyer was a prank, telling Variety that he is a guest of the hotel but does not work there.
So his freaky thing was that there was a little sort of cannibalism S&M kind of thing going on, and then he carved his initials into the genital region of a former girlfriend.
It was really weird, man.
Yeah. Yep.
An appeals court on Thursday rejected a $95 million defamation lawsuit against comedian Sacha Baron Cohen, filed by former Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore, who said that he was tricked into a television appearance and lampooned sexual misconduct accusations against him. Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Manhattan, upholding a lower court's ruling in favor of Baron Cohen, said that Moore signed a disclosure agreement that prohibited any legal claims over the appearance.
Well, there you go.
The three judges also found that it was clearly comedy when Baron Cohen demonstrated a so-called pedophile detector that beeped when it got near Moore. And no viewer would think the comedian was making factual allegations against him. So that lawsuit has been dropped, according to the court. Despite news of their split last month, Jason Momoa and Issa Gonzalez were spotted out together on the 5th. A source close to the actress told E! News that the two are trying to maintain a close bond. The insider said that...
Well, would you call that dating?
That they are working together and traveling a lot. So it's been challenging, but they are seeing each other when they can and really love being together. They are hopeful that they can keep it going and plan to visit each other as often as they can. Yeah, it sounds like they're dating.
Yeah, keep that bond going. What would you call it? We see each other socially and we occasionally have sex.
Yeah.
Is that keeping a bond or is that dating?
I'd say that is a dating bond.
Yeah. Wait, is that crossing over, though, into friends with benefits territory? Because, like, if you're not actually spending...
But they are spending time together.
Yeah.
All right.
Friends with benefits is...
They're closer than this.
I think they're getting together for the sex.
That's probably. Okay. Probably. So,
So, speaking of sex, Damian Lewis confirmed his relationship with Alison Mosshart when the two posed arm-in-arm at an event in London on the 6th.
Right. He recently lost his wife to a battle. Was it cancer?
Yeah, she had cancer. She was 52 years old. And they had, this is a little over a year since she passed. Mosshart's mother, Vivian, recently discussed her daughter's relationship with the Daily Mail, saying they have a mutual friendship. You know, they have a bond.
They have a bond.
I don't know exactly how they met, but I'm fine with it. She said, if she's happy, we're happy.
That kind of bond where you kiss each other's genitals.
I'm yet to meet him, but certainly I'd like to, she said.
All right.
Now we have a breakup. Brian Hickerson confirmed that he and Hayden Panettiere have broken up for good. We were just talking about her yesterday.
So yeah. Brian Hickerson was the one in that video that made the rounds when Hayden Panettiere was out outside of the club and they were... She was throwing down.
I don't remember this. Was it a while ago?
It's about 5-6 months ago before she entered the treatment facility.
Okay.
She's on the other side.
Down? She was fighting
somebody? She wanted to. Yeah, she was. Let's do it. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. All right, then you should be able to find the footage.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
According to a video that Hickerson obtained from the Daily Mail, the former couple of 4 years are now friends.
With benefits?
I don't know.
Or are they having a bond?
They have a bond. When asked by Paparazzo if they were still together, he said, no, absolutely not.
Here you go, Preston. Here's the video of the encounter. She's there. And
ponytail?
Yeah. Is she going to fight with him? Or?
I think there was a fight. I forget who was the object of the ire, but this is the guy with her that she just broke up with.
All right. So here's another breakup. Good Morning America meteorologist Rob Marciano is headed for a divorce. His wife, Erin.
This kills me.
Filed for divorce on June 18th in Westchester County, New York.
How will you be able to do the weather?
Marciano told Page Six in a statement Thursday, the last couple of years have been very difficult. I didn't want this and tried to save the marriage, but we are sadly divorcing. My focus is now on my kids. They were married for 11 years and they share... two children together.
Never saw him. Don't know who he is.
This is the guy that. So when on ABC Nightly News, David Muriel, they send this guy like where the hurricane's happening, and so
it's very windy.
Yeah.
What? And there is a lot of rain. There's sort of a high pitched whistle.
That's exactly what the report is. They should just send Steve.
Sure. I'm on the rim of the volcano. It's very hot, and there's lava. I'm in Antarctica. I would call it stark white and cold.
Sometimes, Steve, they send them to the place where there's drought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't get a drink of water anywhere. Parched.
So, well, you know, he's getting a divorce. Okay. So
yeah.
He'll be free for more assignments like that now.
Yeah. If you want to send me to other weather extremes, I'm opened up.
Hey, this is cool. Marvel Studios has some devilish plans in store for Echo, the upcoming Disney Plus series currently filming in Atlanta. Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio, who portrayed classic Marvel comic characters Daredevil and the Kingpin, respectively, have joined the series, which also stars a Hawkeye breakout, Alakwa Cox, as Maya Lopez. I had to go back and look her up. She was at the deaf...
Yes.
Character
yeah.
Who was a real badass, man.
She's a badass, but she had a
awesome.
She had like a good side to
yes.
her. Yes.
Yeah, she was a tough fighter.
She's the title character, right? She's Echo in the series?
Yes. I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Doesn't she use I don't know.
Maybe she's an Echo location.
Maybe
or
she has
like
an
that.
Echo at home, an Amazon Echo.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. But anyhow, the movie is the latest sign of Marvel Studios' efforts to weave in popular characters from Netflix's now defunct Marvel shows such as Daredevil into the fold.
God, I love that series.
So sources say Echo will include a plotline in which Daredevil, whose alter ego is blind attorney Matt Murdock, is searching out a former ally. There's a podcast called The Weekly Planet. They've reported that ally is possibly Jessica Jones.
Love Jessica Jones.
Another Marvel character who top-lined her own Netflix series and was portrayed by Kirsten Ritter. Now, if Ritter...
Kristen.
Or what's that?
Kristen Ritter.
Kristen Ritter. If Ritter, as Jones, does indeed make an appearance in Echo, that would leave Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and the Punisher as the street-level crime fighters still left to be reintroduced into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But most likely, I would imagine they will do that.
Every one of those actors, Luke Cage is... I'm having a brain fart. He's great. I watch him in Evil. Terrific actor.
Yeah.
All of those... That whole line of Marvel Netflix shows, Preston, was so good. The Punisher and Jessica Jones, specifically in Daredevil. Just tremendous. Mike Coulter, that's his name.
So Cox starred as Matt Murdock, Daredevil, in three seasons from 2015 to 18, as well as the 2000 team-up series, The Defenders, where D'Onofrio played archenemy Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, in Daredevil's first and third seasons.
Did you watch, you watched a bit of, I know, season one of Daredevil.
I watched all of season one. I didn't go any further, but I would like to.
Yeah.
The duo became fan favorites and set a high bar for what a superhero villain conflict would look like on TV.
Yeah, man. They really were really well written and very well done.
Cox's time as Daredevil was cut short when Netflix, which had a pact with Disney to produce Marvel projects, canceled Daredevil in 2018 as Disney prepared to launch its own competitor streaming service, you know, Disney Plus. So that's where it got kind of mucked up a little bit.
It was wonderful to see him pop up in the Spider-Man movie.
It was excellent. Yeah. That just, the fact that they were flirting with that was like, okay, he's still in this.
Yeah.
And he was so great in that. All right, and it's Friday, so we got movies opening this weekend.
Oh. So beautiful.
We got one movie to tell you about, and it's Thor, Love, and Thunder.
Yeah! Oh, man.
That's the wrong song.
That's the wrong song. It's a good one, though. I'll just do it.
I mean, it's a great one, but that's okay. It's an action-adventure, of course, stars Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, Christian Bale. Thor is on a journey unlike anything he's ever faced, a quest for inner peace. But his retirement is interrupted by a galactic killer known as Gore the God Butcher, who seeks the extinction of the gods. To combat the threat, Thor enlists the help of King Valkyrie, Korg, and ex-girlfriend Jane Foster, who, to Thor's surprise, inexplicably wields his magic hammer, Mjolnir, as the mighty Thor. The running time, 2 hours, 5 minutes, rated PG-13, wide release, Rotten Tomato score is at a 69%. And I know Casey said you liked it.
Yeah, 69% I think is fair. It's fun. It's funny, and I think the main complaint would be that it's too funny.
That's what Craig said. From Comic Book Guru said that he liked it, but any chance to jam a joke in, they did.
But there were moments for me that I'm like, this is so absurdly fun.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like they created a couple of characters. I'm like. And we'll have to talk about it after you see it.
All right.
And there were also some fun cameos. So right.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going to see it.
Yep.
All right, we are going to roll some clips now. Zoe Coletti plays Gia, the best friend of a ghost, in the new comedy limited series called Boo, Bitch. In this clip, she explains how the audience views her character's selflessness in maintaining a friendship with someone who no one else can see.
You know, I think that depends on, you know, I think there could be different perspectives on that for maybe like the viewers as opposed to, I think, what Gia would feel about it. Because I think, you know, she made that choice knowing, in a lot of ways how it would turn out.
Shut up, dummy.
Boo Bitch can be now streamed on Netflix. And here's the next clip. Natalie Portman returns to play Jane Foster in Thor, Love, and Thunder. And in this clip, she explains what an honor it is to be a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The most talented filmmakers in the world, the most talented actors in the world. And it's such a privilege to get to be among them. And I think you see, like, Marvel really treats creative collaborators with so much respect and, you know, encourages and fosters all of this.
Could you shut up?
Thor: Love and Thunder can now be seen in theaters, of course.
Yeah, this is the best shape you're ever going to see him in. I mean, he's just crazy huge and, muscular in this one. And I think that was the mission. But apparently with her case in the movie, they CGI'd up her arms a bit.
Did they? I was wondering what happened. Yeah. Her arms looked big.
Little buffer.
Yeah. She's kind of a frail gal, always has been. But petite, I think, is the proper word for that.
So they added some CGI.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. All right, that's it for the entertainment report. But Casey just handed me something, then I can giveaway. We have passes, pairs of them, for the advanced virtual screening of the movie Don't Make Me Go.
which will be next Thursday, the 14th at 7 p.m. and is available on Amazon Prime Video on Friday, July 15th. So we'll take five callers right now, 215-263-WMMR. It's a movie on us, so come and get it, 215-263-WMMR. And by the way, you can go to WMMR.com and click contest for another chance to win, all right? We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Don't forget, Coheed and Cambria performing live in our studio around 9 o'clock this morning.
Yes.
Also, comedian Adrienne Iapolucci will be in the studio. She's going to be performing at Punchline tonight. We have this meet and eat with insanely decadent food coming by this morning. I'll tell you more about that when we get back. Stay with us.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Last week on the Preston and Steve Show live stream, we met Preston's horse, and Casey tried to climb a wall.
Yep, both really happened.
This week, Coheed and Cambria, the whole band. Live performance in studio Friday at 9 a.m. Like and subscribe to the Preston and Steve Show YouTube channel to see and hear it all for yourself.
Meineke, they're celebrating 50 years of service with 50% off of brake pads and shoes. Now, that is worth celebrating. Right now, you can also receive $10.
All right, so yes, I did get a letter. But from time to time, we get letters from prisoners.
We have a fairly robust prisoner fan base.
They will send a handwritten letter.
Yes.
And I got one this morning. And sometimes they're a little odd. And a lot of times, just, you know, sometimes it's like, hey, thank you for doing the show. You helped me getting through my sentence and so
right,
on.
Right.
And I don't know what these people are convicted of. I'd rather not know. I hope that you're being reformed, and right. I hope that you're turning your life around. I certainly wish good things if you're working on that.
Absolutely. Almost like some sort of library issue or something.
Right. So, but I read this one. I'm like,
he didn't return
all
right. his books.
I'm like, this is really funny. Okay. So it says, hey, Preston, Steve, hey, money. As a federal inmate, I have not had sex in 15 years.
Oh, my.
If you could get the lady who voices the MMR Rock Shop promos that she worked so hard on to say, yo, ever heard a jerk mate? That would probably get me through the last 2.5 years of my sentence.
Oh, my.
Yo, ever heard of jerk mate?
And he says, thanks, peace, Jolly Roger. And then he adds a few P.S.'s. So
yeah,
he says,
I like this.
He says, P.S., thanks for having Froggy on the show again and for getting them a slot at the MMRBQ. Wish I could have been there. Please send some hacksaw blades. And then he goes, PPS, all traffic reports should henceforth be done in Kathy's Yoda voice. Major delays on the blur there. And then he writes, okay, Santa's got to go. And then he adds, PPPS, attention prison mailroom. The hacksaw thing was a joke, and underlined it 3 times.
Oh, so. They do read everything that goes out.
Right, that right? was fun. Yes,
that's part of the process. Any correspondence in and out, they check.
And you said he is in a federal prison?
Yeah, he's at Fort Dix.
Okay.
Yeah, I get we at Fort Dix, we get a decent amount of mail from. Believe it or
well,
not.
Well, I think because they have a little bit more. I think I'm just guessing here, but this is what I've heard. Like as far as where they can watch TV, they can listen to radio, as opposed to the state prisons and the county prisons.
Yeah, you know what? A guy I went to high school with who spent some time behind bars, and he was held federally and state because of they were moving him around from place to place. He said federal prison, better place to
better
be.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
I
you
know.
Johnny Cash. We were talking about Johnny Cash earlier, and he did that concert. Was it Folsom Prison?
Folsom Prison Blues. Yeah.
We should go do a prison live remote. Wouldn't we're that not. Be great, Preston?
No.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Preston Elliott.
Maybe just send Kathy. Like,
we'll she could just do live check-ins.
Yeah. Right, live check-ins.
Like where is something super hot?
Yeah, oh my God.
Wait, so he's been in for 15 years. He has 2 more years left?
I don't know if that was a joke or not, because that's what I was saying. And I'm like, okay, dude, you did something heavy.
Yeah,
if you're in there for 15, 17 years, whatever it is.
Or maybe it's just naughty in prison. They keep extending a sentence.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But I could see Kathy doing check-ins from Phoenix State Correctional Institute.
What if you did your Kathy's cuts from there?
Kathy's cuts. We could.
They probably have long
there's
hair.
There's
mandatory.
A lot of inmates with long hair. You know,
Kathy's cuts / ND lousing.
Right.
Prison activities. Right. Yeah.
Cell block activities. All right. No, outside of all that, I think before we head into the weekend, we should stop by the restaurant and check in with the connoisseur. And
it's time for the weekend edition of the connoisseur. They're wheeling a whole bunch of food in here right now, so it's never been more appropriate.
Mr. Announcer, can I ask a favor of you?
Lay it on me, mother.
Can I borrow your bell?
Yes.
All right, because I would like to. I think I'd like. That's one of the things I miss about doing the connoisseur. And since I know when the story is officially over,
right? Yeah.
And my order is up, I can hit the bell.
I have a second bell here too.
All right, so we're going to start with this. Listener sent me this. Hers, the potato chip.
Love Hers.
Yes, they asked fans to submit their favorite Philadelphia-inspired flavor idea and explain why it was worthy of being a Philly favorite. And they have announced their three flavored by Philly flavor finalists.
Is it a flea flavored by the Philly flavor?
It is.
Seriously? I mean, yeah.
And they're asking the City of Brotherly Love to taste the new chips and vote on their favorite to determine a winner.
So we're dealing in the potato chip realm.
That is correct.
All right.
And the winner will then be put on the shelves, or?
You know what? There is a $10,000, let's see, the winning flavor submitter will win a $10,000, a year's supply of Hers products, and a $10,000 donation to a Philadelphia-based nonprofit organization. Nice. Of their choice.
And a conjugal visit with the prisoner in that letter.
The runner-ups will receive $1,000 each and a year's supply of Hers products. So the flavors are as follows. And I like the name of this first one. It's called 215 Special Sauce.
Nice.
215 Special Sauce.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
This one sounds tasty. Long Hots and Sharp Provolone.
Yeah.
And the final one is Whiz Wit.
I'm probably leaning more towards Whiz Wit, even though I do like a little bit of spice.
What I don't, what
special
I,
sauce that the just the name.
The name's great.
Yeah, it's great.
But I'm wondering what that flavor.
Yes,
is, what the special
if there's
sauce
a breakdown.
Is.
Can we zoom in on the bag? That we have a picture
it's got
of the bag.
Like I have descriptions. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
Hot sauce, ketchup, salt and pepper for the 215 special.
All right. Okay, I kind of like that.
So it's crazy because that Long Hot's pretty much every Friday night from Memorial Day to Labor Day, I get a roast pork, and that's what that is. It's a roast pork sandwich.
Okay.
With Long Hots and sharp provolone.
Yeah. I tell you what.
Love it.
Hers has done a great job, and sometimes it's like you say, is this just a novelty? They're just mentioning this, and it doesn't really replicate the flavor, but their line of flavored chips are pretty damn accurate, and like the ones they did exclusively for Prima Hoagies, they're really good.
By the way, Marissa just brought this in. Connor, our associate producer, has tried all three flavors.
Has
really?
He?
What? How yes. did he get all three flavors?
I do not know.
They served him at the Met Gala.
In here.
He's got an in.
Connor did the Met Gala.
I want to see if he... and by the way, is associate producer the proper
title? Yeah, yes.
Or is it assistant producer?
He's our wartime consigliere.
Ah, okay.
That's cool.
That's way... Yeah, that's
congrats.
It. That's
what
it.
Is a viceroy, by the way? I want to call somebody a viceroy. Can you give me the viceroy?
Yeah, call him a viceroy.
Okay.
That works for me.
He's the Viceroy of the President's Steve Show. Connor is here. Connor Betts, what's up, dude?
Not much.
All right, so the three flavors?
Long Hots is the best.
The Long Hots.
All right.
Very hot? Mildly hot?
Mildly hot.
Okay.
How did you get to try these?
They're just at Wawa.
Oh, they're in the store already.
I was like, I guess I got to try this.
Yeah. So you grabbed all three?
Yeah.
Food I've never seen. I have to eat this.
Damn it. I was at Wawa last night, and I ended up going with the cheddar and sour cream. I would have grabbed any one of these three.
Had you known?
Had I seen them, yeah.
So the description says, the Long Hots with sharp provolone flavored chip delivers a bold roasted pepper flavor combined with notes of provolone cheese in the background and a mild heat that builds with each chip.
All right. The Whiz Wit. How about that, Connor?
Kind of tasted like a, what is that, cheddar, like horseradish?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Also, kind of sour creamish.
Okay.
It
was okay.
I would eat it again, but not want to.
All right.
Yeah. I'm not going to get it, but it's like, right. All right. Like,
if it's the only chip.
If someone was drawing down on you.
That's kind of my philosophy to life. I would eat it again, but not want to.
Yeah. So the description says, this flavored chip is drenched in delicious cheesy onion flavor with a bit of meat to match the cheesy goodness that oozes out of the back of your roll after your first bite. Huh.
So it is clearly a cheese steak.
Yes.
Realm.
How about the 215 special sauce chip, Connor?
It was, I didn't like it. The flavor was just, I think, all over the place.
All right. The chip says perfect blend of tangy vinegar and savory flavors with a hint of heat. So I like the vinegar side of things.
I do like the vinegar chips, I have to say.
The thing is, though, Hers, the only chip that they have with heat is the jalapeno, but that is a kettle cooked chip. So I don't think
I'm mad at the kettle cooked.
No, I know, but they don't have a regular chip that has a little bit of heat.
Okay. All right.
You're not a fan of the kettle cooked?
I don't like the texture of kettle cooked.
See, I like that. Yeah. I like that kind of.
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah.
Thicker
kettle cooked.
crunch to it.
Cooked in a kettle.
Nonetheless, you can vote for these. So pick them up like Connor did, and then you can place your vote. And they need to. By the way, they narrowed it down from 6,200 flavor ideas.
Damn, it's amazing. You know, by the way, just
thanks, Connor.
The Wawa that I go to looks like it's almost about to be complete.
Well,
they did
you.
A massive remodel, and they put a special new Wawa sign up, Preston. I actually pulled over and called my wife when I saw it.
Steve, I'm sorry, Kath.
No, I was just going to ask a Wawa question because it's out near you, Preston. So typically, you know, they look the same and then they redo them.
Right.
And there's one when you get off of the Northeast Extension at Lansdale.
Yes.
Maybe 40-foot road or somewhere around there. Anyway, it's a brick. It's a brick structure, and it doesn't seem like they're changing it, and it's been like that forever.
So it's a different design Wawa.
Completely different design.
They have a few classics.
I'm just wondering
it's not a classic.
So no, it's not. It's in a building with other places as well. So there's a pizza shop around the corner.
Okay.
So it's in kind of a complex.
I mean, I kind of like it that it's different, but I didn't know if there
it's a tiny one.
You know, it was that brick and had to stay that way.
Yeah.
That's a weird lot. Like there's some stuff that's been torn down recently, and then there's a Super Wawa that's not far from there, right up
on 63. They just built it not that long ago.
Yeah.
And that one actually has seating inside and you can get beer and stuff.
No kidding.
Like
oh,
there.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, in Harleysville.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyhow, all right.
I want to ask Steve something because I know that you're a fan of kettle corn, and I don't feel like I've ever had a chip that has been sweet. What if you would
a sweet chip?
A sweet chip,
A
potato chip that is not salty but sweet.
So you have like chocolate covered pretzels and things like that. You're saying but it's entirely sweet and not sweet and savory.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Put something together. I'll taste it.
All right. I'll get my team working on it.
All right. Order up. Next one. We're going to go. Let's go to the bar for this one. Disney.
Kathy just took her shirt off and is swirling it over her head.
There are two reasons you'll want to try this cocktail, Kathy. All right. So Disney Cruise Line's newest ship called the Disney Wish is ready to set sail for its maiden voyage on July 14th. The new ship is the largest Disney fleet and includes all new restaurant and lounges, including, and this is why you want this, a Star Wars themed bar.
Wow.
That features themed cocktails. And Kathy, the Kaber Crystal drink only costs $5,000.
I'll try that.
This is a cocktail for $5,000.
What the hell? Why?
I'll break that down for you. All right, so the drink is reportedly out of this world.
Because it's Star Wars, which takes place in space.
All right, so it comes served to you in a comptono. Star Wars fans will recognize the cylindrical container from The Empire Strikes Back and later in The Mandalorian and The Book of Boba Fett. The container is used as a security safe. You would think that you could keep this very cool thing, but that's not the case. However, the Star Wars...
For $5,000, you can't even keep it?
Well, there are some things you get, okay? The Star Wars $5,000 cocktail does come with the following. You get a Star Wars backpack.
Oh, my God. That's worth $5,000.
No. You get a Star Wars water bottle.
No.
You also get a hyperspace-themed room decoration.
Wow.
And a bottle of personalized sparkling wine from Skywalker Vineyards.
No one's ordering this.
They've had a bit of a problem with this. The hotel down in Orlando, you know, the one that's supposed to replicate, you know, it's almost like interactive
spaceport.
Spaceport. The general reaction has been less than wonderful to it, especially for the cost.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how this will go over.
Well, not only do you get the backpack and the water bottle, but your purchase comes with a voucher to visit Skywalker Ranch.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, it is not open to the public, so a visit to the movie ranch where George Lucas works is pretty exclusive. However, you only get one voucher per cocktail, so if you want somebody else to go, you got to spend $10,000.
That seems fair.
So the cocktail comes with a Star Wars-themed escort off the ship as well.
Oh,
now,
hooker.
Here's what you get in the actual cocktail itself. It's not a hooker, Casey.
Oh.
You better like Camus cognac. All right, the Kaber crystal drink is mostly made with this cognac. It includes yuzu and kumquat as well. There are some Grand Marnier quintessence in the mix.
Out.
Oh, you don't like Grand Marnier? No, Grandma.
No.
All right, and along with your Kaber crystal cocktail, you also receive three shots of Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve 23-year bourbon.
Hi, Grandma.
Taylor's Kingsman Edition Very Old Tawny Port and Watenshi Gin.
This sounds like a massive waste of money.
If you know your spirits, these are very, very expensive spirits. I think the main thing is you get
the Skywalker Ranch. But you're right, Preston. You're going to go solo. At least if you're going to do two, that's 10 grand.
Yep, solo.
Yeah.
By the way, it's a Kyber crystal, Preston.
Kyber pass.
Yes.
Oh,
not Kyber pass. No. How did I pronounce it?
How did I pronounce it? Kaber. K-A-I-B-U-R-R.
You need a Kyber crystal in order to make a lightsaber, and the Empire uses it to blow
up. Now I know what they are.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So $5,000. That's it. That's easy, right? All right.
These drinks are overpriced.
Order up. let's see. There's a TikToker. Her name is Rosie Zeppelin. She's from Perth, Australia. Says that she makes hundreds of dollars, maybe even thousands from time to time, by just eating food on camera for her male fans.
We've talked about some variations on this. You were talking about the special where there was the woman who eats. And a lot of it is fairly disgusting.
But there's an interesting aspect to this. So she's got 22,000 fans. She says that she can make nearly $1,000 for a single video on her just eating various types of food.
Right.
She doesn't mind taking requests for her content. And a common ask from her male fans, and this is weird, is to film herself getting lipstick all over her food and face.
So she's eating the food. She's got like a very red lipstick on that gets onto the food and smears on her face.
There's a picture of her like eating a burrito. She takes a bite of it. When she comes back, there's a big red stain on the burrito. I think that's kind of gross.
I think that's I don't get that. For some dudes, that's obviously a thing.
Can you taste lipstick if you accidentally get it on like food or something like that?
It depends the type of lipstick. Sure, yeah, there are plenty.
Burrito flavored lipstick?
Flavor.
Could I? Ooh, this is burrito supreme.
This lipstick tastes like burrito.
I mean, lipstick doesn't taste great.
I actually don't like if I get it on my cup or whatever. I wipe it off. Like, I don't like the, I don't know, to me it just seems, I don't know.
Bizarrely.
Yeah.
And I think I may have seen a movie somewhere where this happens, but I want to, and I know it would taste disgusting, but I want to bite into a stick of lipstick.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Well,
I don't know why, but it looks like it might taste good, even though I know it doesn't taste good.
I forget the name of that show that's on Netflix, but it's basically, you know, the way they you have to decide whether it's a cake or
Yeah.
So I've seen them do that with lipsticks where it's actually like fondant with it, like a cake pop.
Okay.
So you could chew into it. You know, would that satisfy your...
I remember seeing a movie where someone was eating lipstick.
And you're like, you know the lipstick on the teeth when that happens to women?
I know. Do you say something if you don't know the person?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I probably would too.
When
God, my buddy Jim, his mom always had lipstick
on
her
always
teeth.
The case. Like gum gums, you know, when they get up around 75, 80 and they can't quite feel everything on their face.
Yep.
You know, so there's a little bit of egg salad underneath, you know, the look. And it's kind of weird. We're watching the video from her. She's attractive, but
she's really cute.
She's not, you know, but it's an interesting thing for $1,000 to watch her get lipstick on a burrito.
Yeah. Hey, Press, is it Billy Madison by any chance? He doesn't eat the lipstick, but Steve Buscemi's character puts it all over his lips, and then he
glad
goes
I called that guy.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that, but all right. Anyway, order up. Next story.
God! I hit the goddamn button 3 times, Steve.
Nothing happened. There it is. All right. All right, this one from Marissa. Liberty Point, the sprawling 1,400-seat restaurant that opened along the Delaware River waterfront earlier this year, is hosting a summer food and concert series every Thursday night through August 30th. Different performers and chefs are being featured each
week. Oh, that's
week.
Cool.
So it's called the Philly Grown Food and Music Series.
Grown as in, like, in pain?
And No, G-R-O-W-N.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Philly Grown, not...
That thing's happening again.
It's part of a larger effort by Delicious City Philly. Is that the name of your podcast, Marissa?
Wow.
Yes, it is. Let's get her on. So it's part of Delicious Philly, which is the food and restaurant podcast centered on Philly's food scene, and Avram Hornick's Philly Independent Productions to celebrate the city's food and music scene. while supporting local chefs. Is Avram your co-host?
My co-host is Eli. Avram is the guy who owns Liberty Point, which is that huge place on the Seaport Museum that we've been talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He also owns Tradesman, who was in here a few weeks ago, and a bunch of places all over the city.
Okay.
I want to see a musician play a cello while eating potato chips.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
With lipstick on.
Tell us what you know about this, Marissa.
So it's every Tuesday night. It is going to be pretty much Eli, who is a chef in the city, pretty much asked all of his friends to come on out and make special dishes. So you have to order within 24 hours, I believe, you reserve your dish. And then there's bands playing. The bands line up, press, and you have the name of the bands. There's some really funny ones on there.
By the way, the tickets for the concert are $15, but it doesn't include the food and drink, so the food is on top of that.
Yep.
Yep.
For $5,015, you get a tour of Skywater Ranch.
How was your podcast involved?
So we're hosting it. So
that's awesome.
Delicious City at Liberty Point. And like I said, Eli brought in all of these chefs. So Foxy Lady Chef is doing this coming Tuesday. And then Chad Rosenthal, who is Chef, we had in a few years ago before COVID. Mm. And then there's all these other great chefs in the city. Randy Rucker.
Rippy Roken.
I can't remember anybody else.
I love Rippy Roken.
What Eli said is special about this is that these chefs are going to have like fun and make dishes that you'll probably never eat in their restaurants.
Okay.
So like Foxy Lady Chef is making an adult happy meal.
So these are specials that they have. I love that. Yeah. So here's the name of some of the bands, and Marissa's right. So Kensington Clearwater Revival.
That's great.
Oh, they already played on the 5th.
Oh, man.
One got rained out, so they might reschedule.
I got to find out what they sound like. Kensington Clearwater
Revival. They're a Clearwater Revival. A Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
All right, tribute band.
Cool. Tribute band.
Yeah. 16 Jackies. Pine Barrens is another one. Electric Candlelight. Birdie Bush. Britt Thomas Band and the Squawk Brothers. Mobblues. It's like the Oneaters, man. They're probably going to get that wrong every time. Mob Luz Lose. Anyway. Golden Apples and Slow-Mo Sapiens.
Slow-Mo Sapiens?
That's pretty great.
Yeah. I love Slow-Mo Sapiens. All right, anyhow, thought I would mention that. So that's a new series to look forward. All right, what else we got here for you?
Mail or what?
Order up. How about we talk about this? So, apparently, there is a alcohol-free cocktail craze that's happening. It's called Cava.
So, this is something that seems to be really hot right now, right? Like mocktails. Oh, is that what we're talking?
Yeah. But I'm talking about this one.
Yeah.
In particular. Like, Rochelle doesn't drink, so she drinks mocktails.
Yes, so that'd be my thing.
Which is essentially like fruit juice or something that. I mean, you know, with some soda mixed in or whatever you want to do.
Is this Cava, C-A-V-A, Cava?
K-A-V-A.
Okay, so it's not related to the champagne from Prosecco. Spain?
No, but probably it's a Pacific Islands root traditionally consumed as tea.
Yeah, it's okay. I've heard about this. It's non-alcoholic, but it gives you a little bit of a buzz.
Oh, what?
It is a trendy ingredient featured in non-alcoholic cocktails this summer. The root is known to have pain relieving and cognition boosting effects.
Yeah. We've mentioned this before.
Isn't that defeating the purpose of a non-alcoholic drink?
No, it's not going to make you drunk.
No, it'll make you pass out and crap yourself.
There's no hangover, Kat. So there's a little bit of you get a little bit of a buzz from it. You get a little bit of a lift from it. But you do not have any hangover effects.
This makes no sense to me.
Well, I would think that, people's reasons for not drinking may vary. So, you know, you may not want to buzz because sometimes some people turn into a different person when they drink.
Right.
Others may not want to drink because of the after effects of it the next day. So
you have to
weigh this.
If it gives you any sort of feeling towards that, any high, it shouldn't be used in a non-alcoholic
drink. Is it being described as a high?
Not in this. Okay. No, that came from Nick. I don't know anything about it. It just says pain relieving and cognition boosting effects.
I don't feel so.
So it's like ginkgo biloba,
yeah,
right?
Seahorses.
It's not ever.
I'm going to the seahorse party.
But it's not a mocktail. It's a different style of drink.
Yeah.
So this is an actual. All right, now I got it. I'm clear on it now.
All right,
and this is why it's become a thing.
Yeah, and
Speaking
of mock
yeah
tales,
yeah,
Have you guys ever had, like, bold ginger ale before?
Yeah. Is it very gingery?
I mean, well, it's not just very gingery. It's, like, spicy.
Yes.
I love that stuff.
Do you?
Like, yeah, first couple times you drink it, you're like, whoa.
To be honest, I found it a little too caustic.
But if I were to be, if I were, like, drinking mocktails or something like that, I would go for something along those lines because it gives you... some kind of a reaction as opposed to just, you know, having, you know what I mean?
It's always going to undersell it for you because you're used to having, you know, hard spirits, you know, the liquor that is, it has some impact to it. For me, it would, it seemed to be a little bit too much.
All right. Somebody wants to rain on our parade. Dr. Mike Sirigliano, Fox 29, Penn Medicine. Please welcome Dr. Mike this morning. Hey, Dr. Mike.
Yeah, listen, I've studied natural products for 30 years, and kava was, it's a natural product that is, I think it's from the Fiji Islands, if I'm not mistaken. I think Nick was right. The bottom line is that it can cause some liver toxicity. Oh. And it's
like alcohol.
It's like booze.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to go with a mocktail, it kind of defeats the purpose.
That's what I'm saying.
And lots of people used kava for anxiety in the past as an alternative to things like benzodiazepine, like Valium and stuff like that. But I'm not sure about kava, guys.
Okay.
Mike, what I read was that you would really have to drink a lot of kava every single day for it to cause, like you drinking a lot of booze every single day to cause serious liver damage, that people that drink kava don't drink it so much so that they're going to actually experience any health problems. However, you're much more of an expert on it than I am, so maybe I'm speaking out of my ass.
Well, no, I think dosage and length of time is always something to think about. And the famous thing, if I remember correctly, because, you know, we didn't, no one really, this is the first I've heard of kava in about 8-10 years.
Wow.
I think Bill Clinton, when he was president and traveled to the Fiji Islands, actually, you know, the natives will sit around a campfire and drink kava.
You can see their boobies.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
Wow, I love this place. You can see their boobies.
I mean, you know, hey, he was the man. He played sax.
Absolutely. Love their movies.
The bottom line is that all natural products. I mean, I did a thing on Fox the other day. Somebody was taking 50,000 units of vitamin D 3 times a day.
Oh, my God.
And they ended up killing their liver because it's a fat-soluble vitamin. And the take-home message, look, if you do it once in a while and you don't have a history of cirrhosis or a liver transplant, it's probably okay. But everything you put in your body has the potential for harm, even if it's natural, even if it's a plant-based thing.
By the way, a number of people are texting in, Dr. Mike, that that you can get effed up. I mean, by that, I mean putting on a buzz but with kava. So,
they're not dumb. I mean, they the natives in Fiji, they had tribal wars, they would sit down and drink a big out of a bowl of kava, and it would make everybody chill out and make love, not war.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like some more kava, Lala?
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. But, see your boobies.
Know, it's not completely benign.
No. Okay. That's good advice. I mean, but are you familiar, Mike, with the Dr. Mike? The current thing is that this is now on the uptick, and people are now rediscovering this.
Well, see, I listen to Preston and Steve.
Yeah, me too.
And they keep me up on all the medical.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah, look, people are doing stuff, okay, that like Kraton. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that people are doing you know, if you look at the data and you study the history and the research, there is some, I mean, they're all bioactive.
All right.
Bottom line, I'm not saying it's bad for everybody, but I'm just saying you have to be careful and check with your healthcare provider to make sure it's not going to interact with anything else that you're taking.
That's good advice.
All right, Dr. Mike, any last second random medical advice to the audience before you head off into the weekend?
No, just we.
No,
just don't.
You're on your own.
Drink and drive. That's all.
Stay off Lincoln Drive.
I think he said drink.
Stay off Lincoln Drive.
Oh wait, did you say don't?
No, he said you went assaulted drink and drive.
Did you say drink and drive?
Don't drink and drive.
And
stay off Lincoln Drive.
He said stay off Lincoln Drive.
They're always repairing that damn road.
But that's good advice.
It is.
Thanks, Dr. Mike.
We love you, Dr. Mike.
Love you.
My medical advice, stay off Lincoln Drive.
Yeah, it's good advice.
My doctor recommended I stay off Lincoln Drive.
There was a fatal accident the other day on Lincoln.
Yeah.
It's
dangerous.
It actually is great advice, but nonetheless. All right. All right, there's your warning about Cava, but apparently, and a lot of people, Nick is right, there are a lot of people texting in that it can give you a type of buzz.
So. All right, so then it's...
Was not aware of that.
Kind of weird there.
And then Marissa found out that eating lipstick, there's a Super Bowl commercial where Jennifer Coolidge eats lipstick. And that might be it. So, all right, we got to close up shop, gang.
All right.
That's it. Restaurant's closed. Check, thank please. You for stopping by. Check, please.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take a break because we got a lot of stuff happening this morning. Bizarre Files up next. We have comedian Adrian Iapolucci stopping by.
Excellent.
And Coheed and Cambria will be in our studio. Now, with all that food talk, let's give away this because it is time for Crave Montco Month. And we have here this morning Anne Marie's from Royersford. I'll take caller number 7 and give you a $50 gift card. Don't forget that Montgomery County is home to over 1,600 restaurants. Now it's the perfect time to explore with Crave Montco Month. It's like restaurant week, but throughout the entire month of July, enjoy promotions ranging from discounts to free cocktails and special menus. So we'll set you up and give you that gift card. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Anne-Marie's and Royersford is here for Crave Montco Month. I didn't know that they specialized in low-calorie food offerings until I went out.
Yeah.
Dear God. It is some of the most decadent food I've ever seen here. Anne-Marie's is kind of legendary in Royersford. I've never been there, but it's like the breakfast place where there's a line out. Oh, if you don't get there... You don't get breakfast.
Well, because you see why, clearly, if you just walk outside this door.
And Emery herself is here this morning, and I just had the St. Teresa pancake stacker, which is basically it's a blueberry cheesecake pancake with crumbles on it. Yeah, Casey.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
And then did you see the cinnamon?
I did. They have Cinnabon pancakes.
Steve tried to help me put one on a plate.
Yeah.
It took two. Steve and I both.
We could have executed a shuttle launch easier. Right? It was like birthing a horse.
Did Anna Marie help or no?
No, Steve and I were able to. There was a two-team, two guys getting it done. But like Steve was like, Larry, let me help you serve this. And he couldn't do it on his own. I had to help him do it.
A manhole size.
Yeah. They also serve lunch and dinner, too. She said in the pandemic, they started offering dinner options, and she was describing one of the dishes to us, and I heard Nick go, wait, there's fried chicken on a hamburger?
That'll be my lunch.
Yeah. And, they brought in the karate pig burgers and the hollaback burger, which is brisket and caramelized onions and bacon jam. And it's on this food looks amazing, so thank you. Anne-Marie's in Rofo, 347 Main Street. We'll do some more giveaways with them and Crave Montco, but in the meantime, we need to do a Friday anthem, and this is the studio version we're playing this morning.
Yeah.
Frog.
Thank you guys for that once again. All right, let's do the bizarre file. Yeah, here we go.
Bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Horizon Services. You can buy a new cooling and heating system during Horizon Services' sizzling summer savings. Save up to $1,200. Installed as soon as tomorrow or it is free. Book in seconds at horizoneasybook.com. Ontario's Labor Ministry is investigating after distressing videos were shared online showing a construction worker dangling high in the air from a crane load in downtown Toronto.
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
One 54-second snippet of video apparently recorded from the point of view of another worker was posted to Reddit on Wednesday morning. Videos of the same occurrence recorded from different angles were also being shared on other social media channels.
If you have any sense of vertigo or any issue with that, this will make you vomit if you watch this video.
In a statement, a spokesperson for the construction company in charge of the project confirmed that an incident took place at the site Tuesday.
Yeah, it was an incident.
The worker's hand was entangled with a tag line after hooking up a load. Fortunately, he was safely lowered to his work surface and not seriously injured. The worker in the video is employed by Modern Niagara as a rigger responsible for ensuring loads of materials are securely fastened before being hoisted by crane operators. The police, firefighters, and paramedics said that they received no calls related to the incident. So the guy was okay.
He was fine once he dropped his load.
It was really scary looking. So in Alabama, the Monroe County Animal Shelter is ignoring PETA's request to surrender Bob, an errant homing pigeon belonging to an Englishman that wound up in Alabama 4,000 miles away from its intended destination. To PETA, amid allegations from the group that the pigeon's owner cruelly subjected him to a pigeon race.
Huh.
So Bob, the four-year-old pigeon, was supposed to fly 10 hours from Channel Islands in the United Kingdom to his home in northeastern England. Instead, Bob's owner believes his pigeon, who was covered in oil, wound up hitching a ride on an oil tanker before making its way to Mexia in Monroe County, Alabama.
Bob!
I'm claiming asylum.
From there, Bob was taken to the shelter, which checked out the pigeon and posted an appeal on social media trying to connect the bird with its owner.
They covered me in oil.
Then Colin Henstock of PETA said, "We urge you to view the results of our investigation into the similar UK pigeon races, which led to the deaths of thousands of birds." But the shelter's Trisha Davis said that it would not honor PETA's request, adding that she does not understand why PETA wants Bob the pigeon.
Bobby!
Well, I guess they're more familiar with them.
She said they preach birds should stay with their flock and birds are meant to fly, but yet they don't want Bob to go back to his home, to his flock, and they don't want him to fly.
Flock?
She said that she watched Bob and his owner, Alan Todd, interact with each other on Zoom, and the pigeon actually responded to Todd's voice.
Todd, is this you? Yeah, this is Bob. There's all sorts of stuff going on. There's international issues, and I'm trying to hash this out. I'm not going to be able to make the next race if you could let my wife, Catherine, know that I'm fine.
Catherine?
So Alan got to speak to Bob on the phone. That's amazing. Yeah, or to Todd. I'm sorry, Alan Todd is his name. So she said, if Bob's owner is willing to fly all the way back to...
Business class, please.
The United States to pick up one single pigeon, then I believe he should have his pet.
I'm sort of fascinated. You know, Mike Tyson was into this for a while, the pigeon raising and these pigeon races and the homing pigeon, their ability to locate.
It's incredible.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was still something that was kind of going on that vigorously.
Yeah, yeah. A 43, this is terrible. But this is what people do around 4th of July. A 43-year-old man lit a firework on top of his head, resulting in his near-sudden death in San Antonio.
Come on, man.
Officers in San Antonio were called to a residential area just before midnight on Tuesday, July 5th, following the firework mishap. First responders found the victim was suffering from severe head trauma with brain matter exposed
skull. Well, what's the safest place to launch from? Your head.
The victim, 43-year-old Pablo Ruiz, died shortly after officers arrived. Ruiz's friend, who witnessed the fatal incident, said that Ruiz had been drinking when he chose to light the mortar-style firework from the top of his head. Investigators believe that it somehow exploded from the bottom of the tube and pierced the top of his skull.
So it was a missile into
his head. Exposed his brain. So, yeah. he was trying to shoot it off the other way.
Oh.
But, you know, those things can sometimes shoot out down the bottom. Everybody saw that video of the people setting off fireworks in their front yard, and then it gets under the car and explodes a whole cache of fireworks. That first one misfired and shot downward, and that's what can happen. That's what happened on this guy's head, man.
This was the last year officially that I launched Roman candles from underneath my scrotum.
Okay,
I just figured
stopped it.
You're retiring.
It's
a ticking clock.
Too dangerous.
Yeah. All right, the Navy Blue Angels modified their routine after an FA-18 Super Hornet accidentally shook up a few buildings last year at Naval Air Facility El Centro, California, causing $180,000 in damage.
That's like a Maverick move.
And injuring a dozen people.
Wow.
This is pretty wild. So the damage was caused when the Blue Angel pilot flew a little too close to buildings and a little too fast during a sneak pass maneuver at the base. The sneak pass involves flying as low as 50 feet at about 700 miles per hour, which is just under the speed of sound. The sonic wave created by the sneak pass shook walls, picture frames, ceiling tiles, covered people, furniture, and floors with heavy debris, dislodged sheathing in sheer walls, pulled nails out of plywood framing, cracked drywalls, and broke windows. Firefighters reported ringing in their ears and headaches and were concerned with possible of respiratory issues from fallen dust and debris, but did not report lingering effects. Thankfully, it seems none of the 12 people hurt by the flyover were seriously injured.
That's a tremendous amount of damage.
Though it sounds like it was a frightening experience for some. One witness said it felt as if the airplane had crashed into the building. So the investigators found that the pilot was not the problem, since he had not deviated from the team's established safety boundaries. Instead, one of the top contributing factors was the jet. From 1992 to 2020, the Blue Angels flew an FA-18 Hornet, but started in the 2021 show season with an FA-18 Super Hornet, which are larger and heavier than the older Hornets and have a longer range and reduced maintenance demands. And essentially, they're more powerful and louder.
God.
And it was the sonic vibrations that caused this to happen. So pretty wild that it could cause that much damage and injure people just by flying close. But they are powerful machines. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you at this moment. We are going to take a break. And I'm trying to decide.
Because that's what we do.
Yeah, we do that here, man.
As we take a break.
You going to give away something?
Yeah, you know what? Should I give away another one of these, or do you have something else?
Well, we haven't done this yet this morning.
Okay. This thing here?
Let's give away some beer. All right. We have a case of Victory Summer Love to give away. In fact, you know what? We'll do two cases.
Huh.
Call us 10 and 11 at 215-263-WMMR. You have to be at least 21 years of age. The aroma starts with bright citrus notes that drift into a tropical fruit character and finishes with a touch of apricot.
Oh, that sounds good.
With this smooth, crushable body, always craving one more sip is inevitable.
Oh, sounds great.
Inevitable. All right, so call us 10-11, 215-263-WMMR. Be back in a moment, and Adrian Ipolucci will be joining us. Stay with us.
New on Rock Breakdown, the Prince of Darkness returns with new music. Dave Grohl returns to the stage with help from his friend Paul McCartney, plus some new merch from Def Leppard to complement your beauty routine. Get the latest episode on WMMR.com. Keyword, Rock Breakdown.
Last time we had a chance to speak with members of this band, they were in transit. They were on a bus.
We had
this great conversation.
Fantastic.
And our first interaction with the band, and now we've got everybody who is in our studio here. Did everybody else get the emails about excited people
that they were coming
in today? I got an email from somebody who has rescheduled their vacation around their tour.
Oh, wow.
That is how rabid their fans are. Please welcome Josh, Zach, Travis, and Claudio from Coheed and Cambria this morning. Gentlemen, good morning. Good to see you again.
Good morning.
Last time, I'm not hearing them coming through here, Rodney. I want to make sure I have this. Hold on a second, Casey.
We will not stand for anything that's inferior.
We already had that a few minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah.
the last time at Claudio, you were on a bus. We chatted with you. Are you guys, your tour doesn't start just yet, though, right?
No, we're actually headed to Lititz for dress rehearsals.
Okay. I keep hearing great things about that soundstage there. Like, all the bands go there can you explain to the layperson what it is that you do there?
Well, it's more of like dress rehearsals. So it's really if you have a lot of, like, at least from my understanding, because we don't typically go there, but because we have props and video and things like that, it gives like the production a chance to run the system.
And that's what it's the facility's designed to accommodate that.
Yes.
Because we've had
Who is?
I mean, the Stones were there. Yeah. Fish goes there.
Metallica. Chili Peppers.
Metallica. Yeah. Yeah. Are there other places like that in the country? Or
I mean, probably. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the one we're aware of primarily because our old tour manager lives in that town and now works for the facility.
There you go.
Okay.
So we get a discount.
When it comes to the production, so we just played Rush and I had a chance to talk to Geddy Lee one time, and I'm a lifelong Rush fan, and when I go to the shows, that's one of the things I love. They would put movie screens up. They would have inflatables. They would do these things that were part of the music that was being played as well to interact and give you this visual as well as audio sense thing. And I'd ask, I'm like, okay, you guys just don't sit down and come up with that stuff yourself, do you? He's like, no, there are people that help out with this. What about with you guys and the production value of your show? Do you have people that listen to the music and go, okay, here's what I envision this looking like?
I wish it was like that. No, so typically I'll draw like a very crude sketch of what I imagine and then like send it off to management, and then they'll find somebody that can, you know, put the pieces together in terms of, like, financially.
Like, so, like, if you want a Stonehenge, but you accidentally put the inches instead of feet.
Right. Right. Okay.
I was thinking the same thing.
Same line, because to me that seems... But you're... And we talked last time, and I've since, taken a more active approach in listening to a lot of your stuff, because we love progressive, concept albums, and we love the whole predicate for your musical journey across these different albums and the sci-fi elements and so on and so forth. But it's got to be hard when you're putting together a show, because it's so in your minds and you've lived with it for so long, in that staging process to say, you know, how do I convey this thought? Because it's so near and dear to you to at some point say, all right, you do it now. It's got to be hard, right?
Right, absolutely. But, you know, I also understand, like, with trying to put together a production like this, there are going to be limitations. I'm not making, like, the Star Wars movies.
Right, so
there's,
right.
Like, trying to find these pieces that are really both resemble the story properly and also just the lineage of the band.
Right.
So, like, picking those things. And so it is. It's a delicate process. That's why it's so hard to just kind of hand off. You know, it needs to work in both domains.
It's amazing when you encounter someone who's very creative and can... Dude, I think that actually is an evolution in the step of being creative, is to say, to get your people where you can go, okay, now you can, I'm going to pass this along to you, because you have to at some point, because the general product will suffer if you don't have someone doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
I was curious about, you know, when you are rehearsing for a tour, if when you guys go and you're getting this in this performance space and do it, if you will try to get to where... Okay, guys, we're going to run it all the way through from beginning to end as if there's an audience here. Do you try to do that, or mm-hmm. you do? Okay.
Yeah.
So with similar amount of breaks in between songs, yeah. like, you know, you only have a certain amount of time, you go right into this other song. And then obviously you do that for a little while once you get out on the road and you've perfected it a few shows into that.
Yeah. I mean, it's really...
Because some people, I'm sorry to interrupt, but people, I think, like Pearl Jam is kind of like, all right, here's the set list for tonight. Right. Here's what we're going to do, you know.
You don't have kind of that luxury.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, but to that point, I mean, how long into a tour routinely does it take before you've got the product the way you want it?
Oh, that's a good question.
And I just reduced what you do to a product.
Right. With lights and programming and whatever that is, you know, that usually takes a couple of weeks. But for us, you know, it is. We got to understand our bodies, and there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of action. You know, we don't just sort of rely on the visuals. You know,
right.
Coheed has been a very energetic band, you know, the 20 years we've been one. So it's a... we need to take that into consideration. We don't, you know, are just our health, you know.
Right, right.
So that's why we run it front to back, is to make sure that we can breathe.
Claudio, as an artist, I'm curious as to how do you know when something is finished, you know, be it a song or, you know, a stage production or whatever, like, because so much artistic vision goes into it. And I think artists sometimes don't know, am I done with this? Did I do it the way that I wanted to do it? So how do you know, all right, this is... I'm done now, and now I can move on to the next one.
You know, it's tough because you're never really done, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to say it's safe to say with this last record, I feel pretty complete just because the music has been around for so long. But typically the music is alive for a moment. Mm-hmm. You record it, you put it out, and you can't help but, like, sit and sort of nitpick it and think about the things that you could have done better. You know, that happens. So... But usually for me, when I know a song is done, is when I'm pretending I'm Josh.
Yeah.
And I'm like slamming air drums, and I'm like getting super
you're hearing you're hearing it as you're hearing it as an audience member, basically.
Right, like right.
Oh, okay.
You mentioned Josh, your drummer, and when we spoke to you last, you said you made an interesting comment, and I wish I had the exact quote, but Steve, I think you had asked him, you know, if there was something you wish people appreciated more about the band or something like that. And I think you said something along the line, I wish they knew even more so what a great drummer Josh is. Yes. So he gave you this big time love on our program, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw it. It was incredible.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, we've all been playing music together for a very long time and in different bands, you know, and, you know, when I first saw Josh play, he was playing in a band with his brother. And I just remember being like, fixed and fascinated on him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, you know, it would just be incredible to one day play with him. And I think we had one night had a few beers together and we were maybe taking a pee or inside of the house. And I said to him, and mind you, Josh's brother and their band was like signed. They were off and going to do something. And I had said to him, you know, one day we're going to play in a band together. And he's probably like, you're crazy.
15 years old.
You're 15?
Hey, I'm going to be drunk on the porch. We're going to play together. I'm such a big fan of his. I wanted that to be true, but that felt crazy. But here we are, you know.
That's nice. Great.
Hey, I want to go back to the finished product. Have you guys changed anything that was quote-unquote finished? Whether it be a lyric or chord progression, or have you? Because you've been playing something or singing something for so long, and you go, you know what, man? This would have sounded, and you know what? You're the creator. You can do whatever the hell you want to it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, have you ever done anything that was kind of already in the books for years?
Yeah, we have. We've added little things like injecting like a cover of The Trooper inside a Coheed song. You know, things
That's
like
cool.
that. You
That's
know,
cool to be able to do that. It's cool.
Yeah, and you also because you know you when you make a record and you record the record, you only have this like it feels like at least like this finite. You know, portion of time, and you know, as you play it and perform it, you start to realize there are some things that you can do a little better, and you know, you start to modify, and it happens.
And you know, I was curious about musicians, bands that have a body of work. If you can kind of fall in and out of love with certain songs that you've written through the years, does that happen?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like I know.
If I may jump in here quickly, Preston, what song fell out of favor that is now back in favor?
What has fallen? You know, that's a tough one.
Just to revisit, like you're, you know, sometimes you need to rediscover why you wrote it and loved it in the first place. You know,
right? There's one song we're performing on this tour that we haven't in a while, and I like the song. But it's just a difficult one, and it seems to be a fan favorite, and we haven't played it in a long time. But it's like, it's the one of the set list that I'm like, I want to battle. You know, I want right. to get it because it's really tough on my throat. And
yeah.
It's like right in the middle of the set, but it's called The Running Free.
Okay. So is it like, in the show, you're like, all right, three more till The Running Free.
Three more, two more.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I got to do it.
Do you guys all feel the same about that song in particular? Is it sort of a group or do you all have your own specific songs?
No, I don't think that song. I mean, there's a song that we're playing from the new record, which is a big undertaking, and I think that every night when we get that done, for me in particular, I'll feel really good.
Okay. Okay. Mm. All right. What about you, Zach? Anything? Or is it just all easy?
No. It's definitely not all easy. No. Actually, yeah, there's some stuff, from the new record where singing backup vocals is really difficult. So that's that kind of stuff will stress me out because I can't really sing that good.
And we know Josh is so good that there's no problem whatsoever.
Well, your music has so many different textures. It has so many different places that it can go to, from tender ballad to in your face, yeah. You know, that I would imagine the set list allows you time to take these breathers and flow. And you want the music to flow anyway when you're playing a show.
Yeah, yeah. We also curate a lot of segues to allow us time.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, keep vibe going and allow us time to just gather ourselves.
Speaking of segues, I'll use this one to see if we can get some music. It's what I do, Josh.
Mark of a pro right there.
See if you can get some music for us this morning. And what song you want to do here, Claudia?
We're going to do the Liars Club.
Ah. Excellent. All right, this is Coheed and Cambria on MMR.
Liars, it's the fear that wakes us up. Such a mess, far beyond repair. Your mind at service, hard to find the words worth saying. Do to deserve these, everything seems broken when you look at it that way. And there ain't no cure. Oh, the truth is such a bore. Oh, do you want me to lie? Cause I can do it, baby. I can do it, lie. Do you please ask me to? Life would feel much better when we just avoid the truth. Baby, are you okay to lie with me? Deep in disgrace, we're empty retreats, farther than it seems to be. Jealousy here in the back seat. Oh, do you want me to lie? Cause I can do it, baby. I can do it, lie. To you, please, I'm begging you. Cause life would feel much better if we're avoid the truth. Baby, are you okay to lie with me? Cause I can do it, baby. I need you. Baby, are you okay? Oh, are you okay with it?
Goodness, yes!
That's beautiful.
That is stunning.
Coheed and Cambria, 93.3 WMMR, the Vaxxas 2, a window of the Waking Mind Tour. We'll be at the Leah Kors Center on July 27th, and they're rehearsing, and they were in the vague vicinity, so came by this morning.
It was so glad to have you here. You know, Preston talked about getting emails and people being very excited, and that, you know, your fan base is so invested in what you do. And you mentioned Star Wars earlier. There was a point at which
George Lucas became a pariah to his own fans. You know, how do you balance, because your fans have such ownership of your content, you know, they're so invested in it. Is that a fine line you have to walk?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think about it too much just because, you know, a lot of the story is so directly related to my experiences when I'm writing it.
Right.
It's hard. Like, you know, there are things conceptually that I'll inject that I'll know that, like, for example, this last record and its story component ends on this cliffhanger that I really knew, like, when I came up with the idea, this is going to please the audience.
Yeah.
Like, in such a fantastic way. And it has so far, like, as people are starting to digest the record and read the story, I'm seeing a lot of comments about it and people trying not to spoil the end. But for the most part, I try not to think about it. But when I get a concept that I know is going to be a home run, it's like, oh, this is going
to
be great.
That's excellent. That's a cool place to be at.
Yeah. Speaking of concepts and genre stuff and so on, because we had a nice lengthy conversation with you last time. Did you watch Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, right? Now, Nick has not finished it yet, so no spoilers.
Two episodes to go. I'm watching this weekend.
Oh, get on it,
man. I know. It's, you know, it's
he's right.
It's funny because, you know, you're talking about spoilers, and in this day and age, information just gets out. You might just be scanning through Twitter about anything, and then all of a sudden you get some spoiler about Coheed, or you get some spoiler about Stranger Things just because it's been out for a week or however long the record's been out. And so as a consumer of the product, you're like, but I want to take that in. I want to be surprised by it. You know, it makes it's a weird challenge to have to present to yourself, but it's a challenge nonetheless, you know?
Yeah. Especially now when there's just so many avenues to get things spoiled. I mean, it's tough. Like, you know, if you're on social media, it's going to happen.
But you might be your realm, the story you've been telling with these many albums over the course of, you know, this epic story. I think it's, unless you actually sit down and listen, it's harder to get spoiled. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so you might be, in all the realms, you might be the most immune to spoilers, correct?
Right. But it's funny because the other day my wife, she got, because my wife and I, we partnered together on writing the story. And she got a social post that was a picture of the end of the story with the illustration and, you know, the big spoiler.
Right.
And she's like, I can't repost this. So she just, like, X's out all the episodes.
Oh, my God.
So it happens. But, yeah, I think we're definitely in a safer zone.
Is there any talk of this coming to the screen?
You know, we started to talk with our agent at William Morris about trying to make it happen.
Me with the Duffer Brothers.
Why do you say that? Like, I just saw that they put out, they have like now like a subsidiary of Netflix that they're putting out. And I sent it to management like, we should send this to the Duffer Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, why not, you know?
Do you see it as an animated story or live action?
I see it as all of them. I could see it as an animation. I could see it as a live action film or show.
What do you think your fans would like to see it as?
That's a good question. I think probably a show just because it's more in line with the format of a comic.
Yeah.
You know, seeing as like, you know, comic book is like 12 issues, primarily like in like an arc. So 12 episodes in an episodic. I could see that. I could see it like that, but, you know, these Vax's stories really, to me, play out more like a film.
Who rocks your world in as far as, who were your seminal influences as far as science fiction? And, you know, I assume you're all in the genre as far as a love of this material. You in particular, Cliff.
I mean, yeah, just growing up, Star Wars. I mean, I was born in 78, so that was just in my...
In your wheelhouse.
Yeah. And then, you know, that was so... I was so into that I was looking for... You know, sitting up waiting for HBO to maybe get the license and play it and find things like Krull or... I think
Krull.
We
talked about Krull.
Yeah. Krull was a favorite of mine.
Like, Dune really. Sits right Dune, in your wheelhouse, right? I forget if we asked you last time, but have you seen... Do you see the most recent?
I love
it. I mean, that's right in your pocket there.
Absolutely. Yeah, big sci-fi, world building... It's become my thing. I think about it now. I'm like, wow, I've been doing it 20 years. It's actually over 20 years because the concept was born in 98. And I'm just like, wow, this is – it's so bizarre when I see all of the characters and we do the comic conventions. And, even the crews, like when people cosplay, fans cosplay as like characters in the story that they seem to resonate with. It's like, wow, that's pretty powerful. Like, you know, I've always wanted to have that. I've always wanted to do that, you know.
How many times have you seen a cosplayer come up and you think to yourself, wow, I envisioned that character more in shape?
Yeah.
In my mind. Different.
You know what happens. Like, there was a guy who used to come out to our events, very nice, but we eventually called him Captain Central America.
Yeah.
Because he was less impressive than Captain
America. And then we had Cross-Eyed Batman.
Yeah.
Hey, they're having fun. They're definitely having fun.
As long as you're having fun, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. Yeah.
From the characters in the story, do people reach out to you and say that they've you know, gotten inspiration and in their own personal lives and so on. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just inspired to create stories or
fan fiction, basically, off your stuff.
Well, that happens. That could happen. But even just like, you know, aspiring to be like an author of some sort. You know, or a creator.
That's so cool. So. Nice. Do we have time to get another song out of you?
Absolutely.
All right.
Let me make sure I'm there for you guys.
All right. I'll mention again, Vaxxers 2, Window of the Waking Mind Tour at Leah Kors Center on July 22nd. You can get tickets. Just go to CoheedandCambria.com. All the tour information and ticket sales information is right there. What are we going to hear now, Claudio?
Shoulders.
Excellent. This is Shoulders on MMR's Coheed and Cambria.
Out of your way.
You guys sound so damn good.
We gave each other the nod there, Preston.
Yeah, we were like, uh-huh. Coheed and Cambria, 93.3 WMMR. It's Everything That Rocks. It's Shoulders. That's just awesome, man. We love that song. Are a lot of these songs, now you're playing these acoustic today, obviously, are a lot of them born on the acoustic guitar, or they start somewhere else?
You know, Liars Club may have been born on acoustic guitar, but not in that fashion, probably more like it is on the record. And I think Shoulders was just sort of right into like an amp, you know.
Okay.
So it was guitar driven, but not acoustic.
Yeah, I guess everybody has their method of writing songs, or they might just be kind of scattershot doing it here and there. How do you do it?
That's kind of what I do. It really all depends. Like I'll write something maybe on piano. I'll rock on acoustic guitar, synthesized, program stuff. I'll do whatever like sort of inspires.
We have a friend, and we're very lucky to have befriended this guy for a number of years now. His name is Michael Giacchino. He's a composer, and he has done everything from he wrote the music for The Incredibles.
And he did Thor.
He did the recent Thor film, and he did the Batman. And right. He's like the guy. He's like the John Williams.
Amazing. And a complete pick up with him immediately, you guys, because he's a pop culture nerd to the 10th level.
So he's from New Jersey, and we've been friends from him. We've been to his house in L.A. and all this stuff. But anyhow, I'm always fascinated with orchestration, how it can start here on the piano, but it ends up being multi-instrument on something completely different, samples and all these things. And does that... You don't hear that right away, do you? Or, when you're writing a song and maybe hearing it, playing it on this instrument, but maybe hearing it on another one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Like, clarity definitely comes with, like, the sound, I could absolutely play something here that, I might not vibe with, and then go and play it on piano or program it, and all of a sudden it feels like a different world, and it works. It's like, this is the nucleus now of the song.
I've always wondered that.
The reason I brought Michael up is because, he has a whole orchestra to choose from and to pick. And I'm like, well, how do you know that that's an oboe that's going to play that part, when you have all these things to choose from?
And it might be an acoustic performance here this morning, but Josh is getting a workout in the back. And I am impressed by the tambourine on the left foot, Josh. I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
I know. This is pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking this is more confusing than playing the drum. I'm like, what's going on back there?
I couldn't take my eyes off of Josh the whole performance. It was mesmerizing.
We were connected. I can feel it.
That's it. So he's sitting on an instrument that's called a cajon, and then he took a tambourine and just shoved his foot through it, through the hole, and he has an egg shaker.
So I think it's the... He's got it all back there. He's like one of those guys with the cymbals between his knees and the air.
That's where this all ends.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Josh, I don't want to say he's carrying the whole band, but I mean,
Josh, and next thing you know, Josh is out on Fisherman's Wharf for the case out in front of him. And,
hey,
it's come to this.
Do you like my monkey? I wanted to ask, speaking of Josh and drumming, and I doing research, and I have not seen this, and I don't know this is even remotely true, but at one point was Taylor Hawkins, did he do any studio work for you guys?
Yes, he did on the record No World for Tomorrow.
Okay, what was that experience like?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I mean, at the time, we were kind of going through some turmoil, and, Taylor just kind of brought an energy that I think we really needed to, pull Travis and myself, out of the rut we were in.
Right. I don't get the impression that you employ a lot of hired guns when you're putting your music together, do you?
Oh no, not really. I mean, usually when it's auxiliary situations, like maybe some like Latin percussions, or this last record we had a fellow by the name of Chris Jonke come in and help like with the orchestrations and things like that. But primarily like the performance.
Yeah. It just sounds fantastic. It really is. Is it difficult because you're so firmly entrenched with your style, many years, you're talking about how long you've been at it. And hopefully we're serving the purpose of bringing new people into the fold, is that something that is in your mind, or if it happens, it happens?
Like bringing extra people
and new people to the cause.
We have done it in live performances in the past. Background singers, auxiliary keys, that sort of situation. I mean, I think about
I was meaning on more like a listener, a fan base.
Oh,
yeah.
bringing them in how?
In other words, because people who are unfamiliar with your music, you know, who may have perceived you a different way, not realizing, you know, is that something that you look to do or is that even...
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, anybody would want more ears on their stuff, but I wonder if that's an active modus operandi there.
You know, it is. It's definitely, you know, I mean, you know, the music is very personal to me, and I think it has a very universal quality to it.
Right.
You know, concept sort of aside. And yeah, I mean, I would love to reach a bigger audience, and I think it has the potential to do that, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. I just quickly pressed and bring it up, like when we had Ghost and Tobias
Forge
in here, and you know, it presents one way, and then you see, oh, there, it's actually like this, you know, and I, and you can sort of clear misconceptions about, you know, what we've learned about you and how fascinating the whole thing is. I think a lot of people are now finding that a very intriguing aspect. So hopefully we're helping in that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think so.
By the way, Josh had tweeted out earlier that he was appearing on the show this morning and got a tweet back from Zach Myers of Shinedown and said to tell us all hi.
Cool.
Here at WMMR. Do you guys have buddy bands, guys that you, for some reason or other, a whole other band that you've become tight with? I mean, you tour with other groups. I'm sure you've played festivals throughout the years and things like that. That's for any of you guys. Any other bands that have become, you know, really tight with Coheed and Cambria?
Well, Zach, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. There's numerous bands that, you know, I think we all have toured with throughout the years. That we've gotten closer with relationship wise in the past few years. For me personally, I have our friends from a band that we toured with early on called Thursday. Some friends from a band called Circus Survive that we toured with a lot. They're actually from Pennsylvania.
Okay,
how do your shows? How do they? I mean, obviously they differ in you know, how long your set is. But when you do like a festival type of setting where, you know, you have to shrink everything down, how do you guys approach that?
You know, it's just like that, basically.
Right?
You just play faster. It's the full concert, just at 78.
Yeah, it's tough because you don't get the sound checks, you don't get that sort of attention. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's really kind of a running gun situation.
You know what I never really thought of was in those type of settings, the festival shows, because you talk about, like, lighting and stuff like that, like how that all works. Because, you know, we have our MMRBQ every single year, and I never really paid attention to, because you guys have your own lighting guy, right? So you're lighting people. How many people do you got doing your...
I think there's just the lighting and video tech.
Okay.
And then, of course, like...
Yeah. All the other. Yeah.
Setting it up.
Yep. So your question was?
Well, just how that... You know, I forgot that I'd even asked a question.
Okay. What do you guys like to eat?
No, how that's... Because it's...
I forgot I had a question.
Well, you know, it started getting answered, and I was like, maybe the question got answered. I have no idea. But the light... So you talk about the sound on the stage. That's one thing, right?
To flesh
so,
like, that out.
When, you know, one band ends and all their equipment and all that stuff goes to the, you know, back of the house and then the new stuff comes out. But, like, the lights don't come down, right? Right. So you have to work with the lights that are in-house.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Unless, of course, if you are headlining the set, then you can bring in your situation. But, yeah, if you're just one of many, yeah, you're...
I assume you put sanitizer on everything. Just to make sure it's not, you're not catching colds.
Well, listen, Coheed and Cambria are getting ready for their own tour. Themselves putting on their own production, and it's getting underway. They're doing rehearsals right now. Kicks off, actually, this says on Tuesday in Miami. That's where you guys have your first show?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, good luck. And Alkaline Trio is going to be on that bill as well. But they'll be back here in our area on July 27th, the Lea Chorus Center. And tickets are available at coheedandcambria.com. And if you've been looking for... you know, a nice body of work, and you've never dove into the Coheed and Cambria catalog, it's all there for you.
Sitting right there, ready.
Story waiting to be had.
It's, if you're a fan.
Be entertained.
Just talking to John Anderson from Yes, you know.
Yeah, we just had him on last
talking
week.
Talking about, it's there. If you say they don't make it anymore, they do, and you, the guys that are doing it, so it's awesome. Yes.
And Josh has removed his tambourine from his throat. Just
it's
now.
It's hard to jog with that on.
The gig's over, man. Taking it off. You guys are awesome. We love you. Thank you so much for coming by this morning. Wonderful to have you. Yeah. Let's hear it for Coheed and Cambria, Josh, Zach, Travis, and Claudio.
We will take a break and we'll be right back. Make sure you stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And coming soon to OnlyFans. I'm kidding.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The latest Daily Rush video is out. It's Kathy's smell test.
Oh, and I smelled you guys.
Yeah, I watched it last night. It was great. And the question is, can Kathy identify her coworkers by smell alone? I'm not going to give you a spoiler. You just have to go watch it. Be the first to see the newest Daily Rush video by subscribing to our YouTube channel. Scribscribing?
Scribscribing.
Scribscribing
away.
Xfinity's Gig Speed Internet. You can learn more at Xfinity.com. And when you were describing my scent, Kathy, you know what I think it was? I think it's my hair product. I think that's
maybe
what you're smelling.
Maybe. Yeah.
What are you using?
I use Crew. Crew Forming Cream.
Yeah. Because if somebody is freshly showered, I can tell.
Yes, mm-hmm. I can too.
So it might be your hair, but like I know that, like I could smell that you shower every morning. And yes. I also know that, but.
Do you know who I could absolutely identify by scent?
Casey.
Matt Cowper.
Oh, God,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because on Wednesdays, after he goes to the gym, he goes into the bathroom.
All sweaty.
And he spruces up here.
Spruce up after the sweat.
And I can smell the whole bathroom smells mm-hmm. like Crew. I think he uses. One of the Crew products. Anyhow, I could identify it like that.
You know who else I thought you could have thrown in there and I probably would have gotten is Chuck D'Amico. He also has that, like, fresh, clean smell.
Okay.
He's a fresh, he showers every morning, I assume.
I think he does. It seems like he would. What's going on? What's the banter?
You know what? The band's breaking down. There's a little bit of craziness going on outside. Did we just give something away?
Yes. We gave away a $50 Anna Marie's gift card.
Lovely.
And I forgot what number caller.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. I want to say it was 11. Was it 11? Something like that. No problem.
11!
Yeah. No, it was.
It wasn't.
It was higher than that.
Who cares?
Are there numbers higher than 11?
Yeah, there are. There's a handful of numbers.
Really?
That are higher than 11. What?
Oh, man, there's numbers higher than 11.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's like a billion, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay, they'll figure
don't
it out.
Don't worry. All they have to do is play back what we just recorded. Yeah. Of course, we follow the international Geneva rules of radio broadcasting.
Right. Uh-huh. Yes, it is getting. It's kind of crazy when bands are breaking down and leaving. There's a lot of activity that happens right outside of the studio, which is where Marissa.
I should have sent them in to look at the your tchotchkes in your office and the Batman's.
Yeah, my shorts and crafts.
Shorts and crafts.
The shorts and crafts shelf.
Yeah.
Bizarre file.
Sure.
Yes.
Why not? Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll begin with this. A circus acrobat has suffered potentially life-changing injuries after a missing safety net during a human cannonball stunt. He missed it, I guess. He missed the safety net. The 28-year-old man was taken to the hospital. Phone footage shows the performer dressed as Captain America crashing into a metal barrier. Uncle Sam's American Circus said that he would make a full recovery over time.
Okay.
Footage shows the man being shot out of a cannon, missing a safety net, and crashing into a metal rail on the perimeter. An audience member said he was out cold on the floor.
There are a multitude of ways to die in that human cannonball stunt. Just the actual ejecting movement can kill you.
Footage showed him lying motionless on the floor as circus colleagues ran over to help. They put the guy on the mat and carried him away behind the stage and no signs of him awake.
So when you go to see an event where they're working without a net, I find no extra thrill in that. It makes me too nervous to enjoy what I'm watching.
I saw at Ringling Brothers one year when it was at the Spectrum, actually. And they did a human cannonball thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I mean, it was way cooler than I thought it was going to be. They shot that dude across the whole arena.
Yeah.
And he was safe. I mean, he landed okay, but it's
okay.
Yeah. All right. This is strange. A 21-year-old trainee pilot from the UK
died after being bitten by a mosquito on her forehead. Wow. Arianna Pepper developed an infection that spread to her brain.
Is that in the, so...
I don't know if it's in the triangle of death or not, Steve. I think it's from your nose to your chin.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, close enough to be in a bad zone. Pepper
it's in
was
the Northwest Passage.
Well on her way to becoming a commercial airline pilot and had passed her theory exams on the EasyJet program in Oxford, England, and she had traveled to Belgium for her instrument ratings.
How freaking bizarre.
In Antwerp, Pepper was bitten by a mosquito on her forehead. She was hospitalized last year when the infection spread on the 7th of July. Doctors prescribed antibiotics, and it didn't help. 2 days later, she collapsed in front of her boyfriend, James Hall, who had rushed her to the hospital. And she died there
from a mosquito.
Like 2 weeks later.
Isn't the mosquito the most deadly animal
it
on
is.
The planet?
The mosquito kills more people on Earth yeah. than any other type of living creature.
By carrying things like malaria?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And guns.
And guns as well.
Oh my God, yes. The mosquito that totes a gun.
The coroner said that the trainee pilot died as a result of serious infection caused by an insect bite to the forehead. Huh. And then it said that he had never seen a case like that before. So it wasn't a disease. It was an infection. That's terrifying. A woman was arrested for slapping her husband at Disney's Animal Kingdom earlier this month.
How can she slap? How can she slap?
The reason they were fighting, the husband said, was from, listen to this, is the reason,
all right.
The stress that their Disney World vacation caused on their marriage.
I can believe it.
Asia Curry was charged with domestic violence. The couple has been married 6 years and have 2 children together. Both stated there's never been previous incidents of domestic violence, and it happened just after 5 p.m. They got into a fight in the parking lot in front of Orange County Sheriff's deputy. The family had spent the day at the theme park, and the husband told authorities they began to argue verbally about marital issues related to the stress of their vacation.
I never have an orgasm!
A deputy wrote, Curry put the children in the car and then proceeded to curse and scream at him. Her husband walked away from Asia in an attempt to end the argument. Asia continued to follow him, spitting at him as he walked away in the direction of the patrol car. While walking up to the car, Asia then slapped him with an open hand on the back of his head, at which point the parties were separated and spoke with deputies. By the way, I got this story from one of the deputies.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, my God.
That was there.
He sent it,
and he wrote, I may or may not have witnessed this as a deputy on duty.
Jeez.
So I'll leave his name out of it.
Stevie also said that he wants us to come down and do our show from down there.
Yes! Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Curry said she slapped her husband because, quote, he deserved it.
Wow. I felt so bad, though, for the kids. Like, the kids are supposed to be having... This is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, finish your juice box, sweetie. Mommy has to tell Daddy how he's a flaccid fool.
The husband wasn't injured and didn't want to press charges against his wife, but Curry was still arrested and taken to jail, and Disney has trespassed her from all Walt Disney World properties.
I think of things like... It was such a magical day when you see parents brawling. Mm-hmm. For a kid, it's just like you've gone to the greatest thing you could possibly go to.
Wow.
And to mar it with something so stupid.
It is funny that they call it the happiest place on Earth, because at any given time, there are probably more people crying in Disney World than anywhere else on Earth.
All right, so this happened earlier this week, or at the end of the week, last week. But I wanted to include it before we wrap for the week. A large chunk of an alpine glacier broke loose and roared down a mountain in Italy, sending ice, snow, and rock slamming onto hikers on a popular trail on the peak and killing at least 6 and injuring 9.
Jeez.
And it was, authorities said that toll might climb. I haven't followed up on that story yet, but a local civil protection official said the situation was evolving, that there could be perhaps 15 people missing. Rescuers were checking license plates in a parking lot to see who might be unaccounted for. The glacier in the Marmolata Range is the largest in the Dolomite Mountains in the northeastern Italy region, and people ski there in the winter, but the glacier has been rapidly melting away in recent years. Experts say that the glacier won't exist anymore in the next 25 to 30 years, as much of its volume is already gone. So that makes it really volatile, really dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's another. One more?
Yeah.
All right. I don't want another bad one here. Let me see. How about... Okay, we'll go with this one. It's another Disney story. A Central Florida man was arrested after deputies said he posed as a Walt Disney World cast member and took a Star Wars R2-D2 droid in the hopes that Disney security would hire him.
Oh.
David Proudfoot is facing grand theft charge and
beep,
charged
beep.
With obstruction by false information.
Deputies were called to the Swan Reserve Hotel by Disney security. It's a really long story, but I'll sum it down. So the guy had apparently dressed as one of the workers there.
Oh, boy.
And he took, he was moving stuff around, and they came and they said, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, well, I've been hired to move stuff around. He started giving them fake names and
right.
things. And he had eventually taken this really big, expensive R2-D2 and put it somewhere else. And he said that he was trying to show that there were cracks in their security.
So he was helping them out.
He was trying to impress them with this.
I was sure you would give me a job once I highlighted the issues with your security.
Yeah, but that didn't happen. And it was a pretty stupid thing to do. The deputy said that Proudfoot told him he had no intention of taking the items off the property, but they arrested him because he was, maybe stealing it. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you at this point in time. All right. As we take a break, what should I do?
What are you going to do?
Can I get this away
or what are you going to do?
I feel like that you need to hold on to.
Okay, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to give away. We have so many things that I can give away, and I just have to stop and make sure I'm giving away the proper thing. Movie screening passes, or actually these are advanced virtual screening passes for this movie, Don't Make Me Go. John Chosen, this looks like a cute father-daughter thing.
Yeah, it's not a rom-com, but it's a family comedy.
It's rated R.
So yeah, this is brutal murders.
Yes, but I mean, to keep that in mind, it's as far as family comedies go. And it's on Thursday, July 14th, 7 p.m., available on Amazon Prime Video on Friday, July 15th. So it's an advanced virtual screening.
It looks good.
Check this out, and we can take the next five callers at 215-263-WMMR and give those to you. So come and get them. We'll take a break, come back in a second. The lesson question, the trash, the music news, those things are up next, and we will be back in a moment with them.
Hey, friend, did you receive our Camp Out for Hunger Save the Date? I mean, we made a big announcement, and then we put it right there on the website for you. Well, just in case you missed it, Preston and Steve's 25th Camp Out for Hunger is set November 7th through the 11th, 2022. And hey, it's never too early to start collecting. You can find the list of Phil Abundance's most requested items, plus all of the outrageous photo galleries and videos of our guests from over the years at WMMR.com/campout.
Friday morning, no sad bro, friend. We got more things to give away and stuff to do as we are advancing on this Friday morning. Weather-wise, a little on the cloudy side. I have about 88 degrees. Tomorrow we do have some rain, some scattered showers. It'll be spotty from what I've seen from time to time, but cooler. High 74 and then 83 in sunshine on Sunday, rounding out the weekend in fine fashion. Let's see. We need to do today's lesson question. That's what we're doing. Yep. And we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Dom Irrera, who's playing Friday, July 22nd, Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. Question I think I want to go with is, what is Bob the Pigeon's wife's name? 215-263-WMMR. You had to have heard that and kind of made a mental note as to what Bob the Pigeon's wife's name is. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know that answer. Call. While you're calling, we'll do this.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Jersey Mike's. The only way to stop to top a sub is with real red wine vinegar made with real grapes. And the only way to get it is at Jersey Mike's because authentic ingredients make a sub above. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, the family of one of the victims of Travis Scott's Astroworld concert saying the fact that he stopped a July 4th concert because of a rowdy crowd shows he picks and chooses when to be safe. Scott's lawyer issued a response saying if the family didn't shut up, he was going to kill them.
Oh, wow.
Hey. That doesn't seem a wise move. Uh-uh. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but Boris Johnson resigned yesterday as the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. The 58-year-old politician says he plans to return to the private sector and work as a dust mop.
Oh, my God.
And finally, for the first time ever, all three Law and Order shows will participate in a crossover story arc. Fans can expect the event this fall, which will be titled Law and Order and SUV and Organized Crime and This Sort of Thing. And that's your Hollywood show.
Thank you, Steve. We'll see if someone does indeed know the answer to the question. What is Bob the Pigeon's wife's name? And it is Ellen who is in first. So we'll go to her. Ellen, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Ellen, Bob the Pigeon's wife's name.
Is it Catherine?
Catherine.
Yeah.
Correct, Ellen. Hang on. Got yourself tickets to go to a show, Dom Irrera. He's going to be playing Friday, July 22nd, Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. Showtime is 8 p.m. Tickets start at $30 and you can save now via AXS.com. Must be 21 and older. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Music News this morning brought to you by Rita's Water Ice. You can stop by Rita's today and register to win a shark and ray encounter for four at Adventure Aquarium. Enter via QR code or on a promotional poster. So, Disturbed will release a new single called Hey You on July 14th. It is the lead release from their upcoming studio album. The band recently shot the video for the song in Los Angeles.
No, it's hey, hey You.
No, it's not Hey, not
hey
You.
Hey! Hey! You.
I remember yelling that. Is when we found out our phones worked. Yeah. We were in a live broadcast, and all of a sudden we were able to take a phone call.
Hey!
Is that a Cardboard Classic?
Yeah, it was a Cardboard Classic, yeah. Yeah.
It was. That's my version of They Did It. The Knicks, yeah, yeah. Knicks, They Did It. That's me.
Hey!
And then hey,
me screaming about as loud as,
they did it!
As loud as I can.
Hey!
Phones are working.
Yeah, I know. Listen, it's the little things.
I know.
The band shared behind-the-scenes pictures from the shoot on social media yesterday. Disturbed's David Draymond said last month that the new album is tentatively set for release in November. Axl Rose tweeted out a thank you to fans after his recent vocal issues caused Guns N' Roses to bail from performing July 5th in Glasgow, Scotland. The band's promoters are...
He's not a child that appeals to me. I can't get it, guys.
One more time. Two, three, four.
You got a child that appeals to me. Reminds me.
The band's promoters are currently scrambling to reschedule the date. Rose posted a message to fans in which he said, I'd like to thank everyone for their well wishes. It's greatly appreciated. We apologize. I'm sorry.
You all mean the world to me.
Something mean the world to me.
You all mean the world to me. Okay.
You should really just go on vocal rest.
Could be a vocal rest.
And then do screen rest while you're on it.
He said, we apologize for the inconvenience of postponing Glasgow and have been following doctor's orders, getting rest, working with a vocal coach, sorting out our sound issues. Seems good so far. Thanks again for everyone's concern. At the end of the day, it's about giving you, the fans, the best of ourselves and the best time we can. And that's all that I, the band, and the crew focus on. So see you in Munich is what he had to say. No.
Just not there.
It's not working. No. One last story. And John Mayer is caring for his father, Richard, after he suffered a medical emergency and was rushed to the emergency room. Mayer shared his family's news just hours after Dead & Company announced the cancellation of Wednesday evening's show in Saratoga Springs, New York.
How's his dad doing?
I don't know. Mayer is a member along of the band. I know who's in the damn band. I don't need to mention this. He posted that his 94-year-old father is fairly stable.
Oh, good.
But will continue to undergo some procedures. Mayer is staying in New York City with him, by the way. They're scheduled to play here.
Sunday.
On Sunday. So I hope that, hopefully he'll be.
From what I understand, he's taking a turn for the better and that the dad is doing better. So hopefully that'll mean that. Right. I know he snuck into the hospital room the other night to wake, see if he's asleep.
Hey! Hey. Scared the hell out of him.
He's leaning over him just gently and then...
Hey.
So anyhow, we'll find out if that show is indeed going to be underway or not because our Word of the Week prize is tickets to this event.
Yes, so. Yeah.
We'll get to that in a moment. That's it. That's all I have in music news. We're going to take a break and come back. Is this...
It's not tonight.
Not tonight.
Okay.
I'm sorry, that's not Philly.
This is a release. We're looking at a tweet. Okay, I want to make sure that wasn't for the Philly show. So as of now, it's on. All right.
All right.
But before we take a break, I want to mention that I just had only half of the Hollaback Burger from Anna Marie's in Royersford. And it was the point, Kathy, where Casey said something like, "You enjoying that over there, Press?" Because I was just all over the place.
You were?
I was like, oh.
Three
oh.
Mm-hmms?
It's definitely three ums.
Okay.
Wow.
Three ums out of three.
You should put that on the menu.
Brisket. It's a brisket burger. All right, you already had me there.
Yeah.
Caramelized onions, bacon jam, and manchego stuffed in between two pieces of grilled challah bread.
What's manchego?
It's a cheese.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a former slave who became a gunslinger.
I think that was Mandingo.
That was Django.
Oh.
Unchained.
Wait, what's Mandingo?
He's a porn star.
Oh. Okay.
Right. And, music news over.
No, keep typing.
Yeah, please.
Thank you.
I must be the fastest typist on Earth.
People don't know that we have a guy in the corner of the studio here just taking every single word down.
Yep, that's what we do. All right, on that note, let me give away another $50 gift card from Anna Marie's. This is in conjunction with Crave Montco Month. We'll take caller number 7 at 215-263-WMMR. What'd you do that for?
That's 7.
Oh, okay.
How
soon we forget.
I did forget. I'm sorry.
I thought I knew you.
Anna Marie's is known for big, fun, yummy food and their environments, their involvement within their community. They treat...
It's an oxygen-nitrogen sort of blend.
They treat their customers like family and always offer something different on their menu. And today they brought a variety of items. Like I said, earlier, the Hollaback Burgers, the Cinnabon Pancakes, bunch of great stuff.
It's amazing stuff. It really is.
Anna Marie's is offering 10% off your entire bill through July when you mention Crave Montco. So
do
keep that in mind. Caller number 7, the $50 gift card is yours, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to come back, wrap the whole thing up. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Getting ready to wrap for the day. Today was a lot of fun. Very, very much enjoyed your company and enjoyed the fact that we had awesome live music in the studio. Thank you to Coheed and Cambria.
Yeah, man, so good.
They just stopped in exclusively to play on our program. They were, they're rehearsing right now for their tour, which kicks off, I believe, on Tuesday. And they won't be here until July 27th.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool. They're going to be playing the Lea Corps Center. And so thank you to Claudio, Travis, Josh, and Zach, and our awesome engineering team.
Yeah.
That had a stupendous mix on that. It sounded wonderful.
I want to get that. I want to get copies of both versions to put, on my Walkman, Preston.
On your Walkman.
Yeah.
Thank you to Anna Marie's and Royersford for bringing the food in this morning. 347 Main Street in Rofo, and it's crazy how full you will be and satisfied you will be after you leave there.
You'll try to resist.
Yeah.
Kathy, you just had some of the cinnamon...
Cinnamon
pancakes?
Yeah, wouldn't consider it breakfast, but it was...
It's dessert.
Delicious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you to those guys. And don't forget, it's a Crave Montco, and you can visit CraveMontcoMonth.com for a list of participating restaurants and specials and all that good stuff. And, you know what? Before we get the letter of the day and all that stuff, we got to say goodbye.
I know.
One of them is leaving the nest again. No. We're back to saying goodbye to our interns again.
How do I...
We played the right one this morning.
Yeah.
The lovely intern, Erin, is with us.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Erin. We're going to miss you.
Oh, I'm going to miss you guys, too. I loved getting up in the morning and just talking to you guys and hearing and learning a lot, too. So
I remember meeting you at the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah, so me, my mom, and my two sisters always love going to the Camp Out for Hunger, especially when the Flyers go on there, because we're huge Flyers fans in our house. So we just watch, like, every game. And, of course, the draft just happened, yeah. And we have a great new player on our squad. So
Right.
So you live and breathe it. You were happy to be a part of it now, and you were working for us then at that point. Life could not be better, right?
Exactly. It's basically like a dream come true.
By the way, Erin couldn't possibly be any more Irish than she is. Yeah. She's fair skin, long, gorgeous red hair. And what sport do you play?
Okay, so I play two Irish sports. So I play Gaelic football for the Notre Dame's ladies Gaelic football team.
Yeah.
And I also play camogie for the Shamrocks camogie club.
Camogie?
Yeah. So
the Shamrocks camogie club.
What is camogie?
So I am very bad at this sport. Like, I really do try. I just run around the field. I have no idea what I'm doing. But
it's like hurling. I remember you told me about that. Yes,
so,
okay.
Hurling is the male version of the sport. And
okay.
Gurning is the female.
Yep.
So are you doing the same thing, basically, as the standard hurling?
Basically the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
Except, you know, it's all females on the field.
Okay. Hurling's pretty cool. It's kind of like lacrosse, only you use your stick as kind of as a carry-all and a bat, too. And it seems dangerous to me, personally.
Oh, yeah. So, actually, the first week I came back to school for Temple, we had our USGAA finals, which is like our national tournament.
Right.
And I went and played, and as you know, I cannot play this sport. So I came back to school with all these bruises on my leg, and people looked at me like I had five heads and were like, what is wrong with you?
She must be
in
an abusive relationship,
and,
yeah.
And then I'm like, don't worry about it. You should look at the other person.
Yeah, that's good.
Nice.
Good.
So, Temple, how long until you're done?
I actually am done. I graduated in May with a media studies and production degree.
Oh, congratulations.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun there. I got a lot of great experiences, especially behind television and radio. And
any ideas where you'd like to move into and specify or radio, television, or anything that comes along you're good for?
I'm up for anything, okay. You know, just still looking out there, looking for the best opportunities. But I'm hoping to actually still be here with you guys because I met some awesome listeners helping you guys out.
Cool.
I might be doing some stuff with the MM Army. So
some of our listeners might
be able to meet me in person.
You will fit in great. She's such a great personality.
She is, yes.
Just one of those positive people that's nice to have around. So cool. Excellent. Well, thank you for being a part of the family.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on today, you guys.
And we wish you well.
Thank you.
Intern. You know, they grow up so quickly.
Right before your eyes.
And then they go, and then they're on their way. Brent Porsche is indeed here.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Good morning.
You as well. What a show this morning. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah, you're a Coheed and Cambria
fan. I caught
the
Coheed performance on the way in. That Liars Club version was fantastic. His voice sounded so good. You know how all the singers love to complain about singing early in the morning? He sounded spot on. Plus that kind of acoustic-y, kind of mellow version of it.
Yeah.
I immediately said I want the copies of both those versions because they should go into rotation because they're just fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had one bite of one of those sandwiches out there. And I'm already ready for a nap.
Yeah, dude, for real. All right, well, you got a show to do, but letter of the day. You ready for that?
Yep.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
The letter P as in pork roll.
All right, and we will take caller number 6 at 215-263-WMMR, and we have your chance to win some goodies over here. So give us a call right now if you have collected those letters and you know exactly what the word is, 215-263-WMMR. WMMR. With that, what's up today, man?
Coming up on this No Sad Bro Friday, we got the Workforce Blocks. Tomorrow's Jack White's birthday, so we're going to be doing a collective block of White Stripes, Raconteurs, the solo stuff, and more. We got Lynyrd Skynyrd in Atlantic City tonight, so we're going to be doing a block of Skynyrd, also Audioslave. And coming up in the 2 p.m. hour, I'm going to be airing parts of my interview with Joe Perry from Aerosmith.
Oh, cool.
He's going to be in town a couple weeks from now down at the Hard Rock in Atlantic City. So I did a Zoom interview with him yesterday, and we're going to premiere a new song from the Joe Perry Project, also coming up in the 2 o'clock hour.
Was he pretty conversive?
really conversed.
Good.
I was sort of surprised by it, to tell you the truth. His signal was a little off. It was him and his wife at their house down in Florida, and I guess their internet connection was garbage, so, you know, we kind of cut out here and there. But I was actually surprised at how much he elaborated on my questions with the answers and stuff like that. So very, very cool. And in the 2 p.m. hour, we're also going to play some Dead & Company for the show on Sunday.
Excellent. Mm. All right, let's see if we can get a winner for the Word of the Week prize. It was caller number 6, and that's Benny. So we're going to go to Benny. Hey, Benny, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Benny, what is our Word of the Week?
The word is bop.
B-O-P, bop?
B-O-P.
No. No, that is incorrect. Sorry, right, Benny, man. We got to let you go. All right, let's try Heather. Hi there, Heather.
Hi.
All right, Heather, what's the Word of the Week?
S-U-P, sup.
Sup with you.
That's it. Sup, dog. All right, Heather, since you got it right, 4-pack of pit tickets, see Dead & Company on Sunday at Citizens Bank Park. R for you. Congratulations.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I just won these.
Yay! All right, hang on. It looked like the weather's going to be great, so congratulations. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster, and complete details are also available at WMMR.com. As we are wrapping up, I do have one more chance to win. I did have one more $50 gift card for Anna Marie's in Royersford.
So. Nice.
Caller number 16 at 215-263-WMMR. It's yours. Don't forget, that's for Crave Montco Month. So we'll give you that on the way out. Yes, Casey?
All right, so Brent brought this gigantic box in.
This for Casey?
This is for Casey, yes. If you want to read the top there, Case.
Is this the setup to it? What is this?
Well, it says, sorry we're late, LOL, happy birthday, Casey. And it says, no sad bro, and that's from Steve and Kelly from Wilson Secret Sauce. So Steve wished me a happy birthday on July 5th, and he texted me, and I texted him back, I go, it doesn't count. You're a day late. So now he's trying to buy me off with sweets.
Well, let's see what it is. Thank the creator on the top there, too.
Yeah, so there's a Candace Sammartino from Much Needed Bakery. So this is a...
Where do you see this?
Oh, my God.
look around the outside, right. Too.
Oh, my God. This is a... All right.
It is a cake with Casey's picture on it. And it's
multiple pictures. All sorts of pictures.
No sad bro on the top, but yeah. There's various photos. His driver's license photo is one of those, which is one of the greatest pictures ever taken. And
I got it.
We're dismantling the box now to take a good look at it.
I'm going to have to share this with everybody.
Okay, you taking it out?
I'll take it.
Oh, no. Be careful.
He's doing that. Oh, that's nice. That's pretty amazing.
It is huge. That is a big cake.
Hold this thing. How much this weigh? I feel like it's a bowling ball.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Look at that picture on the side.
Yeah, what is that picture?
This has got to weigh 7-8 pounds?
At least.
Something like that.
Do you know the filling? Do you know what it is inside?
It's, I believe, vanilla cake with strawberry cheesecake ribbons in it.
Shut up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Wilsons.
Yeah.
Thank you, the gang, Steve Wilson.
Candace.
Sammartino.
Sammartino.
Julie Jerkoff.
She is a pastry chef. And thank you to Julie Jerkoff. And it's called the Much Needed Bakery. Wow. Needed spelled K-N-E-A-D-E-D.
Wow.
Well, there you go. Happy birthday. Hey. Keeps very on nice. Giving. All right. With that, I think we are done. And I will thank our sponsors. President Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme Markets, Fresh Foods, Local Flavors, Acme, official grocery store of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Trinity Rehab. Locations all over and now open in King of Prussia, trinity-rehab.com. Next week on our program, Ken Hall, who's on the Umbrella Academy, he's the voice of Pogo, the chimpanzee.
Yeah.
So we will talk to him.
That's cool.
Comedian Kyle Kinane, Don McCloskey, musician, will be here performing live. And the very lovely Jenny Slate will be joining
That's
us.
That's a good lineup.
Yeah, we got some good
Down
stuff.
With that.
We'll add to more of that as well next week. That is it. We're done. Rage on. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
I need you to stop talking.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.